Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, July 9th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a tropical storm warning was issued for parts of New Jersey, and a flash flood watch is in effect for most of the area. Severe weather from Tropical Storm Elsa spurred tornado warnings in southern Delaware early Friday as the system moved over the mid-Atlantic states and into the northeastern United States. It was not immediately clear whether a tornado touched down. The National Hurricane Center said at 2 a.m. that Elsa had maximum sustained winds of 50 miles per hour and was located about 100 miles southwest of Atlantic City. The track shifted slightly eastward, meaning that the farther west you are, the rain amounts will be less. Elsa is on its way out, so we will see sunshine by mid-morning, but another round of strong to severe thunderstorms are possible for later today. Fans will be banned from Tokyo-area stadiums and arenas when the Olympics begin in 2 weeks, the city's governor said Thursday after meeting with organizers of the pandemic-postponed games. That means the Olympics will be a largely TV event only.
Can we send our pictures from Citizens Bank Park, the cutouts, and send it over there?
Put them in the stands. After the Japanese government put the capital under COVID-19 state of emergency because of rising new infections and the highly contagious Delta variant. The declaration was made by the prime minister, and the spectator ban was agreed to by the Japanese Olympic organizers, the International Olympic Committee, the International Paralympic Committee, and the Metropolitan Government of Tokyo. It was a serious blow for Japanese taxpayers and local organizers of the games, which already have been postponed from 2020 by the coronavirus. Hundreds of millions of dollars in ticket revenue will be lost, and that must be made up by the government. The state of emergency will go into effect on Monday and last through August 22nd. This means the Olympics, opening on July 23rd and running through August 8th, will be held entirely under the emergency measures. The Paralympics open on August 24th. Microsoft is urging Windows users to immediately install an update after security researchers found a serious vulnerability in the operating system. The security flaw, known as the Print Nightmare, affects the Windows Print Spooler service. Researchers at cybersecurity company Sangfor accidentally published a how-to guide for exploring it.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
The researchers tweeted in late May that they found vulnerabilities in Print Spooler, which allows multiple users to access a printer. They published a proof of concept online by mistake and subsequently deleted it, but not before it was published elsewhere online, including developer site GitHub. Microsoft warned that the hackers that exploit the vulnerability could install programs, view and delete data, and even create new user accounts with full user rights. That gives hackers enough command and control of your PC to do some serious damage. Windows 10 is not the only version affected. Windows 7, which Microsoft has ended support for last year, is also subject to the vulnerability. If there's any good news, it's that the current security update contains previous fixes for previous security issues, too.
Okay, so hang on a second, because I have a Hotmail account that I never, ever use, but I got an email yesterday saying that I should update my password and stuff like that. I have not clicked on anything.
Sometimes you get those randomly.
Yeah, I know. But I got it like twice, and I'm like, okay. When I get
this came out yesterday. I mean, I would don't click on the link, but go into your account and maybe change your password. I don't know.
Okay.
It's the latest in a slew of security alerts from Microsoft in the past year and a half. In sports this morning. Brad Miller hit 3 home runs in a game for the first time in his career, and the Phillies beat the Chicago Cubs 8-0 last night at Wrigley Field. Miller hit a solo drive in the third inning and added 2-run home runs in the fifth and seventh innings. Didi Gregorius added a 2-run shot, and all-star catcher JT Realmuto scored on a double steal. Phil's starter Zach Eflin pitched 6 solid innings as the team took 3 of 4 games at Wrigley. And the Phil's head to Boston for a weekend series in Fenway against the Red Sox. Vince Velasquez will get the start tonight. Game time is at 7:10. Philadelphia Union earned a 1-1 tie against the New York Red Bulls. The Union are back home next Saturday to host DC United. And in the NBA Finals, Devin Booker scored 31 points. Chris Paul at a 23, and the Suns beat the Milwaukee Bucks 118-108 last night in Phoenix to take a 2-0 series lead. Game 3 is Sunday night in Milwaukee. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I'm actually seeing little specks of blue across the sky, so that's a wonderful thing. We'll have all this cloud cover break up, and after that storm came through, it'll be nice to know that it's gone.
Yeah.
And then we'll have some decent weather to look forward to this weekend. We're happy to have you on board today. It's Friday. No sad bro. Not allowed. But we do have a chance for you to win some stuff. Everything we have that we got to give away this week, we'll make sure we unload today. The Word of the Week prize is being given away. And guest-wise, we are having Mark Zumoff on. Mark had made the announcement of his retirement last week, I think.
I think it was last week, yeah.
Was it the week before? But nonetheless, he's been overwhelmed and trying to take it all in. And he sent this really nice text to Casey to say, yeah, absolutely, I want to come on the show. Casey didn't even ask him to come on the show. He's like, I want to come on with you guys. We're like, absolutely, for sure. We wanted to get him on, and he's been such a great guy and helped us out for many years. So we'll talk to Mark a little bit later on this morning, the 8 o'clock hour. Our friends from Deeds and Watson are stopping by. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, that's a great way to wrap up the week.
Most definitely. So why don't we take a break, come back in a second, dive into the entertainment report and a stupid question with the aforementioned giveaways. Hang in there. We'll be back in a moment with it all on this Friday morning.
Hear Preston and Steve. You can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, stupid question time. We're going to give away a four-pack of passes for an advanced screening of Warner Brothers picture Space Jam, A New Legacy. This is an interesting question for you. All right, so what branch of mathematics, let's see, how can I phrase this? Because I have these trivia cards here.
Yes,
and sometimes they're not worded the way that I can present them for this particular question. So let me do this again. Which branch of mathematics name is derived from an Arabic word that means reunion of broken parts?
Hmm. Okay.
I think I know.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
which branch of mathematics name is derived from Arabic word that means reunion of broken parts? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Nick got it correct. Let's see if you know the answer.
So smart.
Let's go to birthdays while we're waiting. Friday, July 9th. John Tesh has a birthday.
The great John Tesh.
The great
former host of Entertainment Tonight with Mary Hart.
Yeah.
And then went into his own musical career and kind of is like the American Yanni.
Yep. He wrote this.
Yeah.
The NBA theme.
Yeah.
And he did several. I think he might have done some variations on Olympic themes and stuff like that.
We had him on the show, interview. Yeah. He was great.
Yeah.
He got him.
He turns 69 years old today, Mr. John Tesh. Happy birthday. Actor Chris Cooper. He's great.
Yes.
Not that long ago, we were talking about Adaptation, that weird movie with Nicolas Cage. I think he won. Did he win an Oscar for that?
He and Meryl Streep won Oscars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nicolas
Cage did not win an Oscar.
Seabiscuit, he's great in that. American Beauty, Born Identity, he's in The Patriot, whole bunch of stuff.
I just watched Seabiscuit again. That's a masterpiece.
It is.
That's just a wonderful movie.
Yep.
And Jeff Bridges, we were talking about, is just an incredibly heartfelt, likable character.
Mm-hmm. He turns 70, Chris Cooper, today. It's also another guy's birthday. Tom Hanks, you may have heard of him.
Yay!
Wait a second. I feel like I have heard of that guy.
He turns 65 today. And
just ice cream.
He's having some ice cream.
Bit me directly in the buttock.
For his birthday.
Sorry about that.
Today. So.
He largely disappeared from social media. He used to be post fairly frequently on Twitter and Instagram, and he just doesn't anymore, which is too bad.
It's probably enriching his life that he's not on his
You know what? You're right. Yeah. Maybe it's good for Tom.
He did some fun things that I liked. He would take pictures of I think it was like random gloves.
Yeah, that you just see on the side
on
of the street.
Yeah.
And he's into typewriters. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Time to time, you'll see just a random sock or glove or something like that out on the road, and he would take a picture of it, and then he would just comment on it, which is fun, I think.
Sadly, social media is becoming less and less a place for just fun, whimsy, that kind of stuff.
Tom Hanks, 65 today. It's Courtney Love's birthday today. We're just talking about her. She went on a rant not that long ago, and then she reeled it back. She was bashing mainly on Dave Grohl.
But she does.
Yeah.
And, though I have to say, having her in the studio for an interview along with Bert Kreischer was one of my most favorite memories of the show in general.
It was really cool. She turns 57 years old today. Courtney Love. All right, we also have Kelly McGillis turning a year older.
I just watched the original Top Gun again.
Oh, yeah?
Look at this.
Okay.
She's like twice the size of Tom Cruise in that movie.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to that.
And she looks good, but there's a lot of hokey dialogue, a lot of it coming from her.
Other than Top Gun, Witness and The Accused, a couple of her notable roles.
She's great in Witness.
64 today. It's Fred Savage's birthday today.
Wow.
We were directed by Fred Savage.
Yes, he's our director of choice.
Yes, when we were, Steve and I, our first time on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
We got our Emmys, and then we realized it's not going to get any better than that.
Yep, he was our director.
Yeah.
Of course, Kevin Arnold on The Wonder Years. Stand up and walk out. And he turns 45 years old today.
He was on a great show, Preston. I know, Casey, you were a fan, with Rob Lowe, called The Grinder.
It was so good.
So funny. Charlie's from It's Always Sunny, his wife was Rob Lowe's wife in the series. It was really good. Lasted one season.
Did you know it's O.J. Simpson's birthday
today?
O.J. and Tom Hanks share birthdays today.
Both the most likable people in entertainment.
You watch like The Naked Gun.
It's like you really liked him.
Yeah.
It's like, who knew that demonic stuff was bubbling just under the surface?
Right. I remember seeing there was a show one time that he was, it was like a prank TV show that they had.
Yeah.
And they ended up not airing his episode because he was such a bad sport about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have behind the scenes video of him, or maybe they did air it, but they had to pull him aside and say, look, this is a joke that we're playing.
Was
that
the Dick Clark Practical Jokes and
Bloopers?
It might
have been. Might have been. It was a show like that.
Right.
It had something to do with him. He was going on a private plane, and they had him, I forgot the specifics behind it, but I just remember them saying he was not into it at all, and he was very, very difficult. And, so.
That has dramatic mood swings, as we no doubt are aware of.
74 today. Jimmy Smits has a birthday.
So I just watched the movie In the Heights.
Yeah.
I really loved it. I thought it was great. He's great in it.
Yeah.
It's full of, joy.
I only watched first half hour or so, and then I had something else I had to get to, and I haven't gone back to it yet, but I was delighted to see Jimmy Smits pop up singing away, you
Absolutely.
Know?
Now more of the grandfatherly, role, and doing a great job with it.
66 today. And then the last birthday, a gentleman who is in our studio right here, Richard Roundtree. Shaft himself.
Man, I got a little nervous on that one, because I'm such a fan of Shaft and those films, and we remember when I brought it up, and he's sort of like,
I know.
It's like
nope. Did you really like that? Not really.
And then when in the commercial break, when the injury was over, he was very talkative about it. I was like, thank you. I prefer you save it for the personal conversation than on the air.
79 today, Richard Roundtree. All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this stupid question. What branch of mathematics name is derived from an Arabic word that means reunion of broken parts? And we will go to John, because he was the first caller. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, John. All right, what branch of mathematics are we talking about here?
Final answer is algebra.
Yes, you got it right. Hang on a second, John. Algebra. And we're going to give you a four-pack of passes for an advanced screening of Warner Brothers Pictures' Space Jam, A New Legacy, starring LeBron James, Don Cheadle, in the lineup of Looney Tunes. And it's on Wednesday, July 14th, 7 p.m. at the AMC Fashion District. And it opens in theaters and streams on HBO Max July 16th. Hang on, we'll get your info and set you up with that. All right, we're going to start with this. A jury will hear from Shannon Doherty next week as she takes her insurance company to court.
Wow.
According to court documents obtained by Radar, the Beverly Hills 90210 star will face off against State Farm General Insurance on July 13th in Los Angeles Superior Court.
Are we talking Radar, a news service, or Gary Berghoff?
Gary Berghoff, okay. Yes. The actress, who is currently battling stage 4 cancer, filed a lawsuit in 2019 accusing them of refusing to pay to repair smoke damage done to her Malibu home during the Woolsey fire.
Huh.
And she admits that State Farm paid out over $1 million, but claims that they owe her another $3 million for repairs. Radar reports that the trial is expected to last three days, and several experts will provide testimony.
What's her status? I know, so she has stage 4. Is she responding to treatment? What is any word on her prognosis?
I have not seen anything about that in the past couple of weeks, months, anything along those lines, so I don't really have any new updates on that, Steve. Naya Rivera's memory was honored by her family and former co-stars on Thursday, the one-year anniversary of her death. The actress's Glee co-stars Heather Morris, Kevin McHale, and Jenna Ushkowitz had penned tributes to their friend, while Lea Michele, Chris Colfer, and Matthew Morrison shared photos of their castmate on Instagram. Additionally, the star's mother and sister appeared on Good Morning America to recount the hell on earth they experienced following the tragic boating accident.
So
and you remember her dad spoke to her
horrible
right before she, and he told her not to go in the water.
Gave her the exact advice that would have saved her life.
I can't even imagine.
So there's two tragic deaths. We had Corey Monteith, right?
Yeah.
And this from the show.
Yolanda Rivera revealed that she and her family are in therapy to deal with the loss of her daughter. We have audio of her therapist.
Yeah.
Right now, Yolanda!
Yeah, so
you're
trying
next
to calm her down. She added, I would like my daughter's legacy.
Would you like a burger?
Right now, Yolanda!
I would like my daughter's legacy, Naya's legacy, to be one that teaches people to love. Love who you are because you don't get another life.
It's true.
That's according to Yolanda. All right, Julia Stiles recently told the People in the 90s podcast how gracious Heath Ledger was on the set of 10 Things I Hate About You.
I like that movie. That's a guilty pleasure. Well, I don't know why I'm guilty about it.
I
enjoy
movie.
The movie, yeah.
I never have seen that movie. I should probably catch that sometime, right?
It's sort of a Shakespearean riff like, they've done before, and it was... And I like his performance. He was really good.
By the way, Julia Stiles, I can't help but mention this. She's a clickbait ad.
Oh, my God.
There's a picture of her, like a not flattering picture of her.
Bloated.
And no makeup. And the caption always says, and it's only here when I'm at work, it says, she was once a big star, and now she works in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania.
Right, so they geotag where you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a photo where you might go, God, she looks familiar. and you may not know that it's Julia Stiles because the photo is dowdy. She looks all dowdy down.
It's like, she's I'm here like, come on, in Bala Cynwyd?
Yeah. Wait, here's another one. Marissa just pulled this up, or Connor did. It says, she died, but no one said a word. Here's why.
Come on.
That's not...
And it's
that
a picture
shouldn't
of her.
Be okay.
Well, right? It's clickbait. So what they do is, you click in and it's nothing. And it's also invariably one of these slideshow things I refuse to go down that rabbit hole.
It was like, I guess it's kind of similar, but the Karen Hep thing. Remember her photo was used
on
a porn site.
Yep, exactly.
I'd rather end up on a porn site clickbait than looking bloated.
Yeah.
And you're running around Bala Cynwyd like a mad woman.
Now she lives in Bala Cynwyd.
I love the one that killed me, Preston, was just a picture of Stallone. And it said, we've lost another one.
Here's another one. It says, she was a legendary actress. Today, she works 9 to 5.
Oh, my God!
Meanwhile,
she works 9 to 5! It's like having double lung cancer!
Meanwhile, the photo of her is, like, not terrible. Yeah, she looks like she has no makeup on.
Right. It looks average.
Who were we just talking about from Baywatch?
Yasmin Bleeth.
So the Yasmin Bleeth ends up in one where it's legit too. Yeah. Where she's like in a sweatsuit, but that is the new clickbait photo du jour. Yeah.
So Julia Stiles was talking about Heath Ledger. She said in one of the movie's most famous scenes. Well, they're talking about one of the movie's most famous scenes. Julia's character reads a heartbreaking poem about her feelings for Ledger's character. She said that he wasn't trying to compete with me. He stood back and he was like, this is your scene. When they did his reaction shot, he didn't well up. He didn't go, okay, now I have to do something with my side of the camera. He was just like, that was beautiful, and this is your scene. She said, you know, he had this amazing, he had his amazing moments in the movie, too. The singing and dancing and running up and down those steps. But he was confident enough, even just starting out, to be like, I'm handing over the stage to you, and I learned way later in life that that doesn't always happen.
So it wasn't like that scene in Tropic Thunder where Ben Stiller and Robert Downey Jr. are both sobbing and trying to, like, steal the scene.
Outcry each other. That's at the beginning of the movie.
Yes. What I love about that scene is Stiller... They have Stiller's hands blown off, but they're blown up in a way a comic, cartoon's character's hands would blow up, like splayed out like a flower.
Yep. Ledger, of course, died in 2008 of an accidental overdose of sleeping pills. He was 28 years old at the time. You're not laughing at him dying. We're watching the video.
No. That's, oh, my God. Sorry.
Penelope Disick spent her ninth birthday rocking out on her new drum set.
Yeah!
With her mom's boyfriend, Travis Barker.
All right, yes.
Right? Yes. If you're going to get a new drum kit, having Travis Barker handy is pretty awesome.
Scott Disick's like, God damn it, man. Like, I got her a nothing or a Barbie Playhouse or something like that. I don't know.
Pile of dirt.
You like dirt?
Here, make a volcano. Here's like some baking soda and some vinegar. That's how you make a volcano.
Oh, okay. I was referencing "I love you, ma'am."
I know you were.
Line. Okay. Anyway,
it's like two people speaking a different language.
I know.
The burger, David.
A sweet post from Kourtney Kardashian show. Showed the child sitting at her her light pink drum set while the Blink-182 drummer assisted her with the hi-hat. Scott Disick paid tribute as well to his daughter on Instagram, writing, I love you too much.
Wait.
Yeah. If this is verbatim, he spelled two T-O. Now, you will take a look and see, Nick, because I need to know that, because it might be a typo in my prep sheet here. I love you too much. And we'll never stop loving you each and every day for the rest of your life, and we'll protect you till the day I die.
I feel sometimes
You read it right, and he wrote it wrong.
T.O.
That's weird because Scott Disick taught English at Cambridge.
Wife was not that I'm defending him, but sometimes, like, if I will do, you know, voice on my watch or whatever, it doesn't pick up T-O-O, rarely.
Right.
And it's one thing that annoys me. I will go in, I will open my phone, and I will send, like, an addendum to it. I'm like, T-O-O.
Yes, because you do know, and you want to make sure that people know you're not an idiot.
I don't think he did this.
He's an idiot.
I don't think he did this with voice to text because there's, at one point, he adds, like, 6 exclamation points. At the end, would you have to go exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point?
I love exclamation points in my text messages. Anybody who I've ever had a text conversation with says the same thing about me. You love your exclamation points, and I will do that. I'll do exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation
Seriously?
Point.
Seriously?
I do usually do 3, yeah.
Okay. Okay. You can also edit afterwards, like on Twitter, on Instagram.
Yeah, you can fix it.
Yeah.
Which is a nice feature to
which
have.
I hate.
Side question, maybe you guys can show me later. Can you edit on your watch?
Yes.
If I do the voice and something comes out wrong, I can edit before I send it?
You should be able to, yeah.
I can't figure it out. I'm not good with the watch.
I haven't used the watch for that in a while, though.
All right, carry on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tiffany Haddish came clean to actor Nicolas Cage about having her first orgasm while watching him terrorize John Travolta in the 1997 action flick Face Off.
What?
She said, it was my first big O. She was actually talking to NPR when she shared this story. The comedian who stars opposite Cage in the forthcoming feature called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent said that she felt compelled to tell the Oscar winner about her euphoric experience while on set in 2020. Initially hesitant to share her story with Cage during filming, she said she struggled to reveal her explosive truth. She said it was a debate, and she was like her inner conflict. She said, should I tell Nicolas Cage this? This is inappropriate. I don't want him to hit me with a sexual harassment claim, but I gotta tell him. She ultimately opted to spill the beans when she realized her awkward vibes were beginning to tarnish her favor with the National Treasure hero. She said, you could tell that he was getting irritated. And I was like, look, I'm really irritated by you, and I need to tell you something. I have to tell you this story, man, and once I tell you this story, it'll be fine. She explained that at 17 years old, she and her then-boyfriend went to a nearly empty movie theater to see Face Off. During the semi-private viewing, she began making out with her date, and their lusty lovemaking brought Haddish to climax. And when she opened her eyes, Cage's steely stare was the first thing she saw beaming from the big screen.
So she has this mental connection.
She said, as I was achieving a momentous moment that I had never experienced in my life, I opened my eyes, and the eyes of Nicolas Cage are looking into my eyes super big.
You eat sand?
She said the memory came rushing back to her when she came eye to eye with him in person.
That's funny. Geez.
She said, so now I'm standing across from this man with those same big old eyeballs. All I can think about is this guy that I had went to the movies with and how we were making out and then that feeling and then how weird I feel remembering this in front of him. Luckily, her orgasmic admission broke the ice between her and Cage, who she claims laughed super hard at the tale. And she went on to say that Cage likened her risque recounting to one that his ex-wife Patricia Arquette told him right before they tied the knot in 1995. He says, you know, my wife first saw me in a movie, and she said that she was going to marry me, and we ended up getting married. And I said, yeah, well, I didn't say that I was going to marry you, nor let you put your fingers anywhere on me, okay? But they ended up having a good time, and that kind of broke the ice. It was a story she felt she needed to share with him.
So GQ has a YouTube channel, and they do, they've done this series, which I've kind of taken a deep dive into. They have actors. It's actors on their most iconic roles.
I've watched these.
I love them.
They're great.
Love them.
Right.
And Nicolas Cage did one.
Okay.
And it's really insightful.
Is it good?
Yes, because he knows he's Nicolas Cage.
Right.
And he knows when he's going to chew up the scenery.
Right.
But a lot of it is very thoughtful. It's very revealing, self-deprecating. And it's great.
And when they do these, Steve, like they're doing them on purpose, obviously. They have a new project that they want to promote, but they're not at all above reflecting on all of their famous movies. You know?
So they'll pick a good chunk of them. A lot of them have such extensive film libraries, they can't do them all.
Yeah.
But they'll pick, as they say, what they believe to be some of their more iconic roles.
I just can't imagine any sort of scenario in which what she did and said would ever be okay if it was the other way around, if it was a guy.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I got to tell you the story.
I shot hard over you.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something, Tiffany? I shot hard over you. I mean, I evacuated my testes in a major way.
There is a double standard there.
Yeah, can you imagine? Listen, oh, my God, I have a story for you.
And it's funny.
Can I tell you something?
Oh, my God.
The other night, I was watching Face Off.
No, it was when she would have been doing traffic on NBC 10.
Yeah. Oh,
and I got to tell you, I shot.
Oh, my God.
Though you know that you've had that, and maybe that's a topic we've done before, but, you know, when a coworker or somebody, when you have a bizarre dream out of the blue.
Don't tell them.
Yeah. Don't tell them.
All right, next story. Heidi Klum recently shared the advice she gave her 17-year-old daughter who is following in her footsteps. The supermodel told...
Stop following me!
The supermodel told People, I said to her, at the end of the day, you have to be happy with yourself.
Wow.
And don't do anything you don't want to do. It's okay to say no. You don't always have to please people, but I'm always with Lenny. And is that her name? L-E-N-I? Lenny? Lenai? Lenai?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
All
right. and she has a
look at this daughter. Look at the picture up in the studio here.
Oh, she's a stunner.
I mean, for Christ's sake.
And she has a very good head on her shoulders. Lenny Klum. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Has already
and Squiggy Klum
landed the covers of Vogue German and Glamour Germany. So she is well on her
You're
way.
Getting in all the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
She's on AGT, right?
Yeah.
That is correct. We were just talking about her yesterday with the little girl.
I can't take it.
Sing opera.
Can't take what?
her on that show, especially when there's like a stand-up comedian and like they have to explain their joke.
I don't get it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't find the humor in
is
this.
Is that like Lederhausen? Yeah.
Does she say that?
Yeah. I'm oh my God.
I don't get this joke.
Yeah. All right. How about this? Basic Instinct director Paul Verhoeven refuted Sharon Stone's claim that he tricked her into flashing the camera during the film's most notorious scene.
Nice beaver.
He told
Everyone to be able to see a sweaty beaver.
He told Variety in an interview published on Wednesday, she knew exactly what we were doing. I told her that it was based on the story of a woman that I knew when I was a student who did the crossing of the legs without panties regularly at parties. When my friend told her that we could see her vagina, she said, of course, that's why I do it. Sharon, he said, then Sharon and I decided to do a similar sequence. According to Stone's memoir, she removed her underwear to shoot the scene because of a lighting issue, but no frontal... What?
Okay.
But no frontal nudity was supposed to appear in the film.
We needed another key light on Sharon's vagina.
Everybody... listen, you don't do a shot like that with no panties on without going, could you see it, or not?
Do you remember where the camera was? The angle was low up at her sitting in the chair. The whole idea of the scene was she is controlling the men in the room, and that was the whole thing.
Yep.
And that was a shock scene that got her massive traction.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of the more iconic moments in film history.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't allowed to watch the movie.
Really?
Because
of
that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My mom was like, absolutely not.
It's so quick.
It's very quick.
You really don't see most of it, your imagination.
And then my friend, who I am still friends with today, he's my oldest friend. We've been friends since third grade. He brought the movie over on VHS. Yeah. And in the house I grew up in, we had an apartment that periodically.
Right. Apartment.
No, my parents would like help some people out if they needed somewhere to stay. We once had somebody who was going through a divorce. They let them stay there, whatever. Long story short, there was set up as an apartment. So me, Bobby, and one of our other friends went in there and watched the movie, and my mom called us.
Oh, my God.
You're not playing Parcheesi.
And that's why I said, I go, are you for real? I go, she just opened her legs for like half a second. Relax.
Yeah. It's not like, you were expecting Hustlers.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Do you see like anything besides?
Not
you
really.
You just see a quick flash of edge.
But it's so quick. I mean, like you can't tell if she has pubic hair or not. You definitely.
What's going on in there?
You don't see any definition. Really. Hey. I don't remember.
But she knew exactly what she was doing.
Sure.
She was doing it. She hosted SNL right after that, and Pearl Jam were the musical guests, and they did a little skit where she starts to open up her legs, and everybody in the audience kind of like leans to the left, and then they cut to the entire band of Pearl Jam, and they're just sitting there, jaws agape, and
nice
like
beaver.
Yeah, seriously, like,
yeah, I can see a beaver.
They're in on the joke.
It looks like a taco.
It's hilarious to see Pearl Jam have a sense of humor and Eddie doing something like that.
That's well, man.
But that was '92, and that
put
was
a cigarette in it and put sunglasses on. It would look like a weird man.
With a sideways mouth.
Yeah, it's looking weird, right?
Yeah. That, Nick, I had no idea. I would have thought that Pearl Jam would have said, no, dude, we're not doing that.
Totally. And it was right when the movie came out, and she's making fun of herself doing this scene, and everybody in the audience, including Pearl Jam, are in on the joke.
It's a butcher hatchet wound.
Eddie just finds it hilarious, pointing at it. Look at that. Looky.
Looks like the alien in Mac and Me.
What? You know what? Nick just pulled up the video. Wait, was Eddie in that, or was he the only one not in the
He's
band?
Right in the middle, and he's got the backwards hat on, and doesn't have the beard. But, yeah, this is 92, 93. And
He looks like a child.
Yeah, they all do. Look at Stone's hair.
God.
Anyway, so she knew what she was doing when the scene was being filmed, and she milked it as she should.
Yeah. And it's a great performance.
Exactly. It is,
and she's a competent actress, And I don't know, is the whole impetus to start blaming now at this point?
No, okay. I don't know. I don't know how. I've not read the from her memoir exactly what was said. I don't think she was being too accusatory.
She did the same thing in Total Recall. You remember that?
No.
I can see a beaver. Were you hurt?
Look at that.
We did the things in the bellies, the labias and the stuff and the hair.
Yeah. We're going to move on. Joe Exotic's estranged husband appears to have moved on as well.
I saw it yesterday. I follow this kid on Instagram for whatever reason.
Dylan!
And I saw the post.
Dylan Passage introduced the world to his new boyfriend, John, in an Instagram post. And he wrote, I've planned on keeping my relationship private for personal reasons, but lately I've been having a hard time dealing with things happening in my life, and John has been my rock in helping me get through it all.
This crush Joe, it has to crush Joe Exotic to lose his...
Who knows? But listen, this kid, and I call him a kid because he is, he's like young 20s. The guy that he's with looks much more his speed. He looks like his age. He's, you know, just as good looking as him. Like, this is more him than Joe Exotic.
Right.
Dylan
had announced earlier this year that he planned to leave the Tiger King star after more than 3 years of marriage.
I can't believe it. After all we've been through.
Seriously.
I can't believe it.
And look at his boyfriend. He's adorable.
Yeah, he's a really good looking guy.
Till the first guy comes along, man.
Yeah.
I wrote a song for you.
I think my first question would be like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, what were you thinking?
Happened
well,
there
was a little bit of self-promotion involved, clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, is this Nice Tiger?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tell all the hunters.
You like this?
Lay down their gun.
Oh, my God. See, the voice.
I'm not the tiger.
Tiger.
The fact that he's not even singing.
He probably wasn't even there for the recording.
Oh, the icing on the cake. Speaking of recordings, we're going to play a clip of Hugh Jackman for this particular story here. No matter how many years pass, Hugh Jackman will always love Whitney Houston. In an endearing video posted on Instagram, Jackman admitted that his teen self spent years believing that the famous singer was crooning to him and only him in her famous 1992 hit, I Will Always Love You. So we have some audio from this. Here we go.
By the way, listen to the very last lyric of I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. She actually says, Hugh, I promise you. The very last, it's Hugh.
Well, I made myself believe that when I was 15.
And just without even hearing the clip, which is the second clip, it includes a snippet of the song. Yes, she does. When she has a breathy
it's
you.
It's breathy, yes. Do we have that?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Is this it, Case?
I believe so.
You? That's okay. She loves you all. But this is it. Who do you love?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
That is.
Why does the piano come in? We don't need the piano. I love you too.
Man, that woman can sing.
Yes. Oh my God, yeah.
Man, oh man. By the way,
like that loser kid on AGT.
Hugh is scheduled to return to Broadway in The Music Man, whose opening was postponed due to COVID. Were you going to go see it?
Yeah, okay. we had tickets and everything.
It was originally rescheduled to premiere in the spring of this year. Currently, the musical's creative team is being retooled following the allegations against that producer guy, Scott Rudin.
Who now everyone hates.
Just throwing potatoes at people
right.
and stuff like that.
They loved him, and now they have to hate him. But the as far as Hugh Jackman goes, he is a complete entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
The range that he has is just astonishing.
Yep. Let me see. Why is this story here? Hang on a second.
Oh, I'm curious.
No, it's a Bizarre File story.
Really? Yeah, is it slightly entertainment based?
It's a dead body in a walk-in freezer.
Okay. Oh my God! Goonies.
Was there a dead body in a walk-in
freezer?
Yeah, Chunk
got stuck in there with them because they had Rocky Road.
So Chunk was dead in there?
No. The dead guy was in there and Chunk got stuck in there.
Who's the dead guy? I don't remember.
Well, the Fratellis killed him. Remember, this is at
I know where it was, but I don't remember the dead person, huh?
Yeah. He was like sobbing, crying when they eventually got him out.
Okay.
Because he was cold, probably, right?
I need to see
and
then
with
again.
A dead guy.
So he, smelled the ice cream. He's like, oh, man. And then he opened up the freezer, and he's like, oh, my God, they got, Fudge Ripple and Rocky Road. And then all he can pay attention to is the ice cream, but all the other kids, they see a giant dead body in there. And then the dead body ends up falling on the Chunk. They go face to face.
Okay.
Yeah. So the story did belong in Entertainment News.
Yes it did. Yes. There you go. We made that. Makes sense.
Just on a side note here, I wonder what the status is of Adam Goldberg's Goonies movie, because he's doing one.
Yes.
Do not know. We'll have to research that. All right, a couple other quick things. Kiefer Sutherland will once again playing the President of the United States. TV Line reports that the designated survivor star will take on the role of President Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Huh.
Opposite Gillian Anderson's Eleanor Roosevelt in Showtime's upcoming anthology series, The First Lady. So he will be FDR.
Lady!
That'll be interesting.
That's a little weird. I don't see him as an FDR type.
Right. I don't either. And then one more thing. Jeff Goldblum is set to join the Season 5 cast of Search Party. Deadline reports that the star will have a recurring role as Tunnel Quinn, a charismatic tech billionaire.
Tunnels are basically tubes that one can crawl through.
Goldblum said in a statement, Search Party is such a brilliant show. What a thrill and a privilege it is to get to be a little part of it.
He's great.
I respect and adore everyone involved with this magical entertainment. I'm not familiar with that show.
I've not heard of it. I know the last thing I knew he was working on was the Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah, this is season 5 of this show.
Yes, well, we have a lot of catching up.
All right, so new movies.
Oh. Yay!
How about that? All right, so just one movie, and that is it. And we had a chance to speak about it recently. Black Widow.
Yeah.
Opens this weekend. It's an action-adventure film, obviously, starring Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, and David Harbour. Rachel Weisz is in it, too.
Yes, she is.
The plot is Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. Black Widow, confronts the darker parts of her ledger when a dangerous conspiracy with ties to her past arise. Is pursued by a force that will stop at nothing to bring her down, Natasha must deal with her history as a spy and the broken relationship she left in her wake long before she became an Avenger. 2 hours, 13 minutes long. It's rated PG-13. Wide release in theaters and streaming on Disney Plus today. Rotten Tomatoes score gives it an 81%. It's a good movie, man. Really good movie.
Looking forward to it. Going to watch it tonight, yeah.
All right, let's do the eclipse. When LeBron James and his son get stuck in a digital world, the only way to get home safely is to team up with Bugs Bunny and the Toon Squad. In this clip, King James hints at where Space Jam: A New Legacy falls in the series.
It's not a sequel. It's called Space Jam: New Legacy. It's not Space Jam 2, Space Jam: New Legacy. And there will be a basketball game, I'll say that. And there will be some people that are a little bit out of this world that we're competing against. It's more of a family movie.
I don't think I want to see it.
I hated the first Space Jam.
Yeah, I didn't care for it either.
Yeah, I hated it.
I can't stand the Looney Tune characters' voices. It's
You're right, Case. They're way off. And the people, and they've had people do good impressions of those Mel Blanc voices. But I'm right with you on that. It just doesn't sound right.
Space Jam: A New Legacy comes out in theaters July 16th. Here's the next clip. Scarlett Johansson first appeared as Black Widow in Iron Man nearly 11 years ago. I think it was Iron Man 2, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. In this clip, she talks about the infamous movie dubbed the crotch throat grab.
Oh, yeah.
That she has done countless times since 2010. Here we go.
I fought Winter Soldier with that. I've taken down so many guards. I do it on Favreau. Who else have I spent a long day with my legs strapped around? Taskmaster, actually. Yeah, it's got a very unattractive name, but it's quite appealing to watch.
Vagina.
You know who else does that move? Evangeline Lilly in Ant-Man.
She does.
I thought that was a bit of a ripoff. I didn't care for that. So I thought that's Black Widow's move.
There's a YouTube channel called Corridor Crew, and it's all special effects guys, but they also bring in stunt people, and they bring in the stunt women, and they brought in the actress or the stunt person who stunts for Scarlett Johansson the most as Black Widow. And, you know, that move is done live, you know, and the fighting sequences and stuff are pretty badass. But she's almost a dead ringer for Scarlett Johansson.
Marissa?
Are you guys done talking about Black Widow?
Yeah, she wants to talk about Space Jam.
What? She wants what?
She wants to talk about Space Jam. I think she wants to defend Space Jam.
Black Widow is in theaters and streaming on Disney Plus today. All right, go ahead.
How the hell can you guys hate Space Jam?
Because it stinks.
It sucks. The acting from the basketball players is terrible.
All right.
The voicing for the cartoon characters is terrible. It's not a good movie, and it was never meant for me. It was never meant for Steve. It's meant for children who have terrible taste.
Children.
All right. Wow. Well, Space Jam was a very formidable movie. Nick Murphy and I are literally standing here like jaws wide open.
This
movie was part of our lives. That Seal song, what was it? Kiss from a Rose?
Yeah. That's from Batman Forever.
That's Batman.
Wait, what was it?
I believe I can fly.
That one. Yes.
That was R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Look what he did. He peed on people.
Yeah. So I guess you support holding women hostage and pissing on them.
I think maybe you guys are a little bit younger. Yeah. And we grew up, you know,
knowing what good stuff is.
Well, no, accustomed to the original Looney Tunes stuff, and we have a different take on it. But as, like, my kids like Space Jam.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I think it's just a generational thing.
All right. For every person out there that owns a Toon Squad jersey, rock on.
All right, there you go. Marissa gives it the indoor. What, now, will you see this new one?
Hell yes.
Okay. All right. It opens on the 16th, I believe.
Well, it may be completely different. Maybe it's a work of art.
You never know. All right. We're going to take a break because that's it for the Entertainment Report. We'll come back in a moment. Don't forget, Mark Zumoff is going to be joining us this morning. So we'll talk to Zoo as he is now officially retired. We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
The free MMR app for your phone. You can stream us live, get on-demand audio and video, and we can even send you alerts on really important stuff. Plus, it's Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible. The MMR app, making your smartphone a little dumber.
Yesterday, later in the show, we had this discussion about things that people are afraid of, things that most people find normal, and yet it scares you. And Marissa said that on Facebook, it continued on. The conversation went on and on. And she said there were some really surprising things, like people that are afraid of sunflower seeds. I don't know why. Marissa, hang on. She would be able to expand a little bit.
Screen capturing them. It's not sunflower seeds.
Sunflower shells or sunflowers?
No, sunflowers.
Oh, I understand that.
Smell out of me.
They look like a head. They look like a face.
I feel like the middle is just going to suck your face off.
Okay. You know, we have talked about people with that fear of the holes, the porous looking thing.
Somebody posted a picture and it just was wrong. It was. I couldn't get through it. I couldn't.
Really?
Oh my God! It was awful. It was like holes on someone's hand. It was terrible. Don't go look.
All right, don't go look.
All right. Oh, and our friend Michael Giacchino, the Oscar-winning composer, had posted in response to that and said he's afraid of cucumbers.
Cucumbers, like a cat.
Yeah, I don't know why. I do not know why. But, Marissa, you got a couple more examples?
You want to hear them?
Sure.
Yeah.
Throwing something down a flight of stairs, like laundry to a basement, or tossing keys to my husband.
Wow.
Can't do it. If I absolutely have to, I won't look.
I wonder if that's fear of hitting them in the eyes or causing damage, physical harm.
Hands sliding together. I know it sounds weird, but holding hands and most handshakes make my blood run cold.
Oh, my God.
The friction from hand to hand freaks me out.
Wow. That's my girl.
Wow. Balloons, they're very unstable. They could pop at any moment.
Balloons, I know people who are terrified of balloons.
Right.
Changing strings on a guitar. I swear that high E is going to snap and whip me back in the eye.
I can see that. So that actually, it's funny you just mentioned that. In that horrible remake of The Haunting, the woman's, there's a piano wire that adjusts and becomes too tight and slaps her and hits her in the face.
Oh.
And I know that is a, that fear of tightening things like that, things, an archery, the bow, string, all
and like
of
you
it.
Said, pumping up a tire.
Oh, yes.
Like something that's on the edge of just snap.
Right, right.
Or explosion.
People just crap themselves.
Yeah.
E.T., I'm 41 years old, and I still somehow have nightmares about him. I don't like being near dark woods because I'm afraid I might see his
Knock it off,
heart.
Pussy.
Ceiling fans, I have this totally irrational fear that it will fall from the ceiling and chop me up.
And the fan will fall off the ceiling. Okay.
Yeah. Peacocks. I'm not sure why. It freaks me out that one minute it's a normal looking bird and then bam, this big ass tail. Like, who are you? What's the disguise? Who are you hiding from?
That's great.
I love it.
I don't trust those shady bastards.
Right. But I love everyone's willingness to share these things that they have not shared before, probably with people, because it seems a little embarrassing. And I have another topic that can kind of follow in that. It's not what you're afraid of, but I saw this Reddit thread of family secrets that you found out at some point.
So do you think this is a cathartic thing, like yesterday and with family secrets, yeah, it's cathartic to get it out now and then?
Maybe.
Like an emotional purge?
I'm not sure about the family secrets. About the other thing, yes.
Yes.
I think so for sure.
Especially if you find out you're not alone in your dumb fear.
And when you're able to say something out loud, maybe there's something, you know, in fact, I'd like to do it sometime. Maybe not right now, but something you've never uttered to anyone ever in your entire life.
Kathy, I had a dream about you last night.
Dear God in heaven, help me. Yes.
About you, and you've never told anyone. That could be interesting.
Well, now, I know it's going to happen any day, but ever since we started the show, we asked for a line that could mask people's voices. And so that would be a great way for people to call in and really open up their, you know.
That technology doesn't exist.
It just doesn't exist. Yeah.
They don't make that.
So this one here, this topic.
So family secrets.
Comes to mind in my mind, Preston?
What?
Kathy's the revelation with her dad and Janis Joplin being her mother.
Yeah, but that wasn't, none of that is a secret. Like, my dad talks about all of that stuff.
So there's a belief that a member of my family killed someone and did it in a fashion that is just messed up.
What?
And I don't know if it's true or not, but
is it Uncle OJ?
No, it wasn't Uncle OJ. No, we believe that somewhere in my lineage there was a woman who had her and her friend had taken to caring for an elderly woman. And that woman had money.
It's just like the movie you watched.
And they take care of her and everything and gained her trust and managed to legally get, you know, conservatorship and stuff like that. And then the belief is they poisoned her and took her inheritance.
How close to you in the lineage is this family member?
Close.
Really?
Yeah.
And sister?
No, it's not my sister.
Is it your mom?
No.
Is it your mom?
But
anyway,
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, Jesus Christ,
shut up.
Because I don't know.
We don't even know if it's valid.
Yeah, it's just we were like, I could see that. You know what I mean?
Your nutsack and I killed someone.
Right.
We think that my grandfather killed somebody, too.
Really?
This is the one who is mob-related?
Not mob-related. The Irish side. And nobody's actually sure, but something happened in the family, which was terrible. It was awful. And my grandfather said, I'm going to take care of it. And it was a guy who lived upstairs from him. He went upstairs that day. My aunts, my mom, all of the kids were in where they lived, in the apartment where they lived. And they said after he went upstairs, they never saw the man again.
Wow.
And the man lived upstairs from them. They used to go into his apartment. They would see him every single day. My mom said, we never saw him
So
again.
Was this guy a very volatile, the person who was, we assume, taken care of? Was this guy very bad or evil?
Yes, he did something very bad. And my grandfather went and they never saw him again.
They never saw him again. Wow.
All right, so I'll give you a couple of examples here. Not all of them are, you know, my family member killed someone.
Yeah, but those are good ones.
They are good ones. Yeah. So this one is interesting. It says, my husband's grandmother was a Jewish teenager during World War II and was placed into a concentration camp. During this time, a Nazi guard fell in love with her and would bring her extra food and clothing and et cetera. And he continued to protect her to keep her alive. When the war was over, she came to the U.S., started a new life, and she told this secret to our family just days before she passed away. It was like something that she had kept hidden from the family because she was, I don't know, embarrassed by it or something.
Oh, my
like
God.
That.
Imagine you're trying to stay alive.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing
can.
To be embarrassed
Take
about.
Help from anybody you
oh,
can
my
get
God. Yeah. I can't even imagine the hell that would be.
Yeah. Another one says, after my uncle died, we discovered that he had a second wife who he had spent most of his time with.
This happens more than you would think.
Yeah.
The second, or some have had multiple families around the country.
They said literally no one on either side knew this for over 25 years. He also purchased the same prefab house, same furniture, and same everything for each of his wives.
That's the way to do it.
So that their houses mirrored each other probably help him to keep his story straight.
Well, that's what you would do, right? If the story gets too diverse, if you're dealing with basically a multiverse of timelines.
You're going to slip.
Yeah, you might slip.
Yep.
Steve, you know what one also happens fairly frequently and more often than you would think is, and here's the example that I'm going to give, is I have a friend. She has an older sister and a younger sister.
Right.
And the older sister is actually the mother of the younger sister.
Yeah.
And they didn't know that for a really long time. And so they eventually had a family get together and they had a conversation and they aired it. You know, everybody is now aware of all of it.
That's right, but out of Chinatown.
But for the longest time, my friend thought that she had this family dynamic that wasn't true.
A sibling is a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another one that says my
dad was actually my little sister.
What? Yeah. See, these things happen.
That is so
your name
weird.
Is Debbie?
I see your dad with a little a blonde wig on with curly locks.
I'm going to go outside and skip.
This one says, my aunt poisoned my grandma for her inheritance.
Oh, wow.
Everyone in my family knows
I'm
about
sick
it.
Of this, you crazy bitch.
But it's just not talked about.
Yeah. You know, there are dramas that run deep in so many families. Yeah. You know, you think what you see in Hollywood movies is, you know, wow, it never gets that crazy. It gets that crazy and then some.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Let me go to Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, ladies, gentlemen, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
How you doing, Joe?
My grandparents were going through hard times. This is when they were younger. They had 8 kids, and they were about to lose the house. My grandmother says, hey, went down to the casino, won a bunch of money. That's not what happened.
Oh, what
she
happened?
She did a pornographic movie.
She did a porn movie.
Oh, my God.
How graphic a porn movie, do we know?
I didn't watch it, Steve. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you, if you're going to tell me you're not interested in how far Grandma went in a porn movie,
oh, dear
I'm going to call you a flat-out liar.
So apparently, like back when like they actually had slots and stuff, like not like the crap we watch today.
Yeah, right, stuff in the late 70s, early 80s,
the stuff you'd fast forward for.
Exactly. Yeah. So I know she. Oh God, don't make me say it, but I'll say it. She. It was like a Monica Lewinsky scene.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. So listen. There's no judgment here. If there was,
she did what she had to do.
And that was, listen, and,
God.
that's gum.
Here's what I need to Joe. How did this, how did this information become family knowledge?
So I was looking for like old tapes of Christmas and I just, no, that's not how we shot.
Okay.
She told her sister, basically. Her sister told my cousin. Cousin told me. I made jokes in front of my grandma.
Yeah.
And my grandma's face was like, uh oh, somebody's opened the Chamber of Secrets.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh no, Granny, no. Oh, it's true. Oh, good Lord.
Wow. Well, you know what? Listen. Is she still alive?
Huh?
Is she still alive, your grandma?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Listen. Can I watch this somewhere?
Respect for her.
Yes.
I have total respect for this woman. She had 8 kids.
She's trying to do what she could.
They're at the end of their money.
She's probably scared crapless.
And she did what she needed to do, I think, and I think that's very commendable.
Yeah.
You know what? Yes. What? Good for you, Grandma. You be a bad deal.
Yeah. Do that cucumber trick.
Oh, my God.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
No, that's nothing to be ashamed about.
You sound like Gary Lauer. Yeah.
I want to watch this. I want to support your grandmother.
Oh, my God.
I think she's
Joe, email Casey with the name of the movie, okay?
Yeah, I want to watch it.
He's gone.
There's no way he's going to email a title.
He might.
Wow. Wow.
That's
okay.
She was in a desperate situation.
That's a really good one. All right. I will go to Alyssa. These are family secrets. Hey, Alyssa, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Alyssa. So you have an interesting family secret?
Yeah. So my uncle growing up always had a different last name than like my dad and my other aunts and uncles. We kind of as kids like never really thought too much about it. But as we got older, I was like, why the hell does he have a different last name? So my cousin apparently found out from her mom that he was placed into witness protection when he was younger, I guess, like in his 20s, because he apparently was, like, friends with somebody in the mob. But I feel like that story doesn't really add up.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're a friend of the mob. We need to make you go away, friend of the mob.
It just didn't add up. Like, just friends, and you had to go into witness protection. His kids have different last names, but anytime somebody mentions it, it's like crickets in the family.
Right. Well, listen, wait, so Alyssa, it's not inconceivable that someone has witnessed something or is in proximity, but I agree with you on the friend of the mob thing. Looks sounds a little suspicious, Kathy.
Yeah, and the way they keep it so hush-hush.
Yeah, yeah.
Alyssa, is he, like, biologically your uncle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was weird him having a different last name from my dad.
Well, all right, so maybe I'm misunderstanding what witness protection does, but shouldn't he be, like, not in contact with the family at all?
Well, so I didn't really have much of a relationship with him until I was probably in my late teens, and he's, like, in his 60s or 70s now.
Right.
And so it might have been, like, when he was in his 20s, and he always lived in Florida.
Right.
He didn't move back to New York where we were from until I was like 25.
So, Alyssa, it could quite possibly be, if you said it was in his 20s, wherever the threat was coming from might have passed away. Or, and people like Henry Hill, from Goodfellas, just decided to reintegrate and kind of went off his own witness protection at a certain point. He deemed it safe to do so. So I don't know, but man, that's a wild story.
Interesting.
Yeah, his kids have now like changed their last names back to our
to Corleone.
Okay. Yeah, right.
We still got the other one.
All right, Alyssa, thanks for sharing. We appreciate it.
Guys.
We will go next to Danny. Hey, Danny, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, it, buddy. All right, so family secret to share?
Yeah, so apparently when I was like 11 years old, my parents fighting in the room. I had a different last name. Didn't really think much of it. I was, 10, 11 years old. And they come out, and they're like, hey, listen, you know this guy? We'll call him Robert. Because, listen, that's your real father, man. This guy, Jose, he's not. And this guy's freaking loaded. I just thought,
So, Danny, what prompted them?
Really rich uncle. He comes by. He gives me sneakers. He gives me this. He gives me that.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And, yeah, he owns, like, a chain of stores. And
let me ask you two things. So what prompted them at that point to tell you that he was your dad?
What I think it was is my... my father that raised me, I call him dad. He's the person that raised me.
Right. Okay.
This guy pretty much is, my sperm donor, the other guy.
Yep. Right.
But his mom was always kind of really mean to me. He'd bring my siblings, which were his biological kids. He would bring always my siblings, money. She would bring my siblings, like, money and toys and all this stuff. And I was just always just kind of there.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
The Jon Snow, the family. Yeah.
So the second question is, what is your relationship now with your actual biological father?
So with my biological father now, I'm in my mid-30s now, and I can kind of see how it went down, he met this chick in college, he kind of, knocked her up. And,
yeah.
Things kind of unfold that way, so I don't really, hold it against him. Things happen, life goes on. So I have a decent relationship with him, but he's just absolutely loaded. And now I have a kid of my own. I'm like, damn, I could have been like that if I didn't have any kids, right?
Oh, man. Well, listen, it's healthy that you view it that way, that you see it as, all right.
It's very mature.
Not holding something against him like that. But the dude should give you some money for crying out loud.
Well, let me ask you. How does your grandmother's porn chops?
Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, at this point in time, Preston's right. I mean, not that legally there may be no recourse, but you are owed something. It sounds like it doesn't sound like you're the kind of guy who's going to go, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah. Right.
But it wouldn't hurt to help you since you were sort of shunned.
And you have kids now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was the question you kind of...
No, not a question. We're just making a statement that, we think you're owed something. But But I also think it's okay that you're not fixated on that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, it's probably better for you that way.
All right, Danny, thanks for sharing, man. We appreciate the story, bud.
It was like your assessment or your observation, Nick, about people who think a sibling or somebody who's just a family member is actually a parent.
Yeah, so and I knew people like that, Nick, whose sister was the mother. But so here's another scenario that you may have heard of before, where the father, and I'm going to put in air quotes, joins the army. Okay.
Okay.
So he's joined the army and he needs to go away and do army things for 2 years.
Right.
But he's actually in jail. He's actually in prison.
Yes, yes. I've heard that.
Have you guys ever heard of
that
before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, went,
and he re-upped.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know somebody who he's back in college again. He's like in his late 40s and he's back at college.
Oh, he went away to the army for a little while.
He went back to college?
He went back to college. I'm sorry.
He was in college like all through his 20s. He visited college in his 30s.
He's getting a super duper degree.
Now he's late 40s and he went back to college.
So he's a doctor.
There was a family member that we had. They told us that he went to prison for rape. It turned out he had actually joined a boy band.
What?
Oh, my God.
Tell us.
It's so funny because...
Dude, I get suckered in every time. Wait, Steve is going to tell the real story here.
I look at him and I'm like, waiting for the story. And then he blurts that out.
He's in a boy band!
My family, though, like my Irish...
We have to move.
My Irish side hides everything. You know, it's all hidden. It's all swept under the carpet. My Irish side.
Your Irish side.
The
okay.
Italian side. They're like, oh no, yeah, he went to jail. He was selling drugs in the used car dealership. So he went to jail for 5 years. That's where he was. You're like, okay. And no, that's not Joey's dad. That's not his real dad. We told Joey that until he was two. Now it's not. He knows now. Okay, all right.
So your dad is the Italian side, right, Kat?
Yeah.
Obviously, because of your last name. So my grandfather was Italian and his father was Italian. And I think I told you guys this before, but at my great-grandfather's funeral, there were several women who showed up. And they were They were all mourning and wearing black and crying their eyes out. And so my great-grandmother is looking around the room and she's like, huh, this is new, you know, but like it was, I don't know if accepted is the right word, but not a massive surprise.
So, well, a lot of times, and it's funny, Kathy, because it's weird how, like, even on, you talk about on the Italian side, how they what's the pecking order of what needs to be told and what doesn't need to be told and what sort of just happens to seep out. And it's such a funny dynamic. No, they don't need to know that. But I'm going to tell you this, which is 10 times as horrible. But that whole showing up at the funeral thing is who's that woman?
Right.
Who's
why
that?
Why is she crying so much?
Here's what text says. My grandfather was a boxer for the mafia. He would win and throw fights depending on how the bets went for his handlers. And one day, a guy that was supposed to lose the fixed fight beat my grandfather, and that guy was never seen again. And apparently, it happened more than once.
Wow.
So I guess that was a family secret as well.
Yeah, man. Could you imagine?
Interesting. I will go next to... I want to see what this one is. I'm going to go to Dan. Hey, Dan, you're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great, bud. What's your family secret you're going to share with us?
We used to have a piano. I'm 58, so my grandmother used to play our piano at the house, and she played beautifully. I was told she used to play for the silent movies. Hmm. Only a couple years ago, I found out she played for a speakeasy / brothel.
Oh.
So she... the whorehouse.
Whorehouse, yeah.
I didn't realize they had a piano player in your whorehouses.
Now, it's unfortunate I have a 7-year-old daughter in the car, and she's asking questions about it.
That's kind of interesting, Dan. Was this during Prohibition, since it was a speakeasy?
My grandmother was born in 1902, so I'm not exactly sure what years it was.
Right.
But my aunt, my grandmother's oldest daughter, she just told me a few years ago that it was a lie, that she didn't play for the silent movies. And here as kids, we thought it was great. You know,
Wow! No! So it wasn't silent movies, but she played piano at a whorehouse!
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. When they were having orgies, they needed a soundtrack.
What would you fellas like to hear?
Yes.
So she was banging on the piano here and there.
Well, they were were banging in the back room.
Did you guys ever find out maybe there was more than just piano playing that she was a part of at this particular brothel?
No, because she was married at the time. So okay. I haven't heard any bad stories about
no married
her.
Hookers.
They never let married hookers. Mm-hmm. No. That would be wrong.
All right, Dan, thank you.
That's an interesting
little family footnote. You know, I mean, not horrible, but it's interesting.
I wonder if they had if she was able to pick her own playlists, or was there a program director?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want the guys to get off? You got to play something a little more relaxed, like Bolero.
Let's go to Zach. Hey, Zach. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, Zach?
So my wife found out a few years ago. Her dad's side of the family, she had very little relationship with. All she knew as a kid growing up was that her grandfather had died when her dad was a teenager, and her grandfather was just a complete butt, just putting it nicely. And then she gets a random message from Poland where her family lives, dad's side of family, and it says, hey, you're entitled to some inheritance. She says, great, wonderful. Then she comes to find out that instead of it getting split three ways between her brother and her cousin,
yeah,
it's split 10 ways.
Wow.
And she said, well, why is that? Here, her grandfather had run off from her grandmother, faked his death, started a new family. Not only had he started a new family with this other lady, but then faked his death again and started another family after that.
Whoa. So he faked his death twice.
Wow.
And moved to multiple countries to help massage that story and then set up three separate families?
Well, he was living in Poland during the communist era.
And all right.
I assume it was easier to go ahead and fake identity and things like that. So he stayed exclusively there, but he only died a couple of years ago. And she thought for the longest time that he'd been dead for, 40 years or something like that.
I'm going to have to imagine, Zach, that this is like Kathy with you when you did the 23 or the ancestry.
Right.
That mm-hmm. you discovered you had relatives you had no idea about. It's similar to that.
Yeah. Wow. All right, Zach, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
That's got to be wild to suddenly, I now have a part of a family I didn't know existed.
Well, and to that, it happened on both sides. The Irish side, it was like, oh, my God, someone has a secret. They had to sit the family down. Here's the deal. And, crying and mass chaos and whatever. The Italian side was, my dad's like, hey, I got a brother.
That's right.
This is going to go, I got a crazy story for you.
Yeah.
Turns out you're one of 50.
You know what's funny is as I'm finding out, even at this age, so I'm the youngest in my family, I'm the youngest of the siblings, and I was sheltered from all of the interesting and salacious family stuff. And from time to time, a story will come out and I'll be like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, yeah, we never told you about that because you were the youngest. And they still, I guess, it's not on their forefront of their mind. We need to tell Preston this thing that we lied to him all these years about. But every now and then I'll be like, wait, what? Excuse me? Oh, yeah, he was arrested for beating his wife and blah, blah, blah. And I know you got along with him so well, we didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, you like to touch kids a lot, but we never told.
What?
I mean,
but I still am the child of the family.
Yeah.
And,
I'm the middle child. I found out my older brother's 9 years older.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, the hardships that my mother went through. My mother passed away when I was 20, turning 21.
And they didn't want you to know some of that stuff, probably.
Right, that she had to. But there was stuff that just bolstered my adoration for my mom that she was able to,
But you may have been too young to get it.
But I mean, I've been not technically young for 200 years.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot out there. Families hold some deep, dark ones. So, you know what? Share them. Have some fun. Yeah. Tell them.
Tell us.
Tell those stories. Yeah. Tell us from time to
time. And if you have any grandma porn movies, send them along.
For God's sake, we want to see. Casey wants to see those, even if she is a grandma. Currently,
she could
doing
have been
porn.
That, she was Monica Lewinsky. She had to have been younger.
Well, he was using as a frame of reference.
No, it was the time of Monica Lewinsky. It was Monica Lewinsky.
She was gagging.
Or a cigar.
Or a cigar.
Yeah, maybe a cigar. All right, anyway, thank you for sharing interesting stories. We very much appreciate it. We got to take a break because we got Bizarre File on the way. We got Mark Zumoff coming up as well. And we want to make sure we stay on time with that stuff. So we'll come back in a moment. Stay with us, my friend.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I want to thank Deeds and Watson and a couple of Real Philly Delis for being here this morning. Anna's Corner Store and Swarthmore Co-op Community Food Market. Casey hates it. It's Swarthmore.
It's spelled Swarthmore.
It's one or the other. I've heard people from there call it Swarthmore and others call it Swarthmore. But nonetheless, Swarthmore Co-op in Swarthmore, PA serves up incredible sandwiches with legendary names like the William Tell and the Catcher on the Rye.
Ooh.
And always made with Deeds and Watson. Lots of premium meats and artisan cheeses like every Real Philly deli.
Very literate sandwiches, bro. Yeah. Yeah,
Kathy, if you went into that area where the Swarthmore Co-op is, you would be like, oh, my God, Lake Delco actually has a cute little town here. Yeah, oh, my God. So it's right next to Swarthmore College. So, like, that whole little area is perfect. It's
boutiques and things.
Yeah. It's got
curio
like
shops.
A smaller Doylestown sort of vibe to it, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was
does their brothel have a piano player?
No, I was gonna say it was a lady from Bucks County that started it.
By the way, Anna's Corner Store brought in a couple of pickle witches. Which are sandwiches, but the bread, instead of bread, it's scooped out pickles.
Saw a picture of this on Instagram the other day, I think on their page. And
would you be down for that?
Oh, my God. I love pickles. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I saw.
Because I claimed, they only brought two, and Marissa and I claimed them because we're both pickle fanatics. But nice. Maybe we can cut it up into pieces or something like that.
Cool. I saw you could do like cheese witches. So did you guys see this? Like, they're like basically
cheese is the bread.
Cheese is the bread. It's like a cheese wrap. So it's kind of like in the shape of
fine with that.
Would you put meat in between it?
Whatever you like.
So what if you put bread in between it? What would happen then?
It's just it's a reverse. It worked for me.
I think the world would explode.
You're right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's a big ass sandwich.
It is. We're looking at a picture of Marissa.
What? Do they feed it to a great white?
Just while we're talking about it, I tried cutting my cheese with a Ritz cracker last night.
Marissa cut it the cheese.
Did it crumble?
Yes.
Yeah. They're very delicate. All right. We need to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, stories. Yeah, I got stories. We're going to start with a messed up one I saw yesterday. A woman was killed by a grizzly bear that pulled her out of a tent at a campsite in Montana in the middle of the night.
Could you think of a worse nightmare situation?
Leah Davis Loken, who is 65 years old of Chico, California, was on a long-distance bicycling trip and had stopped in the town of Ovando when she was killed early Tuesday. She was attacked on the bear's second visit to the site where she and two fellow bicyclists were camping near the post office. The approximately 400-pound grizzly first arrived at about 3 a.m. and awakened the campers, who then took food out of their tents, secured it, and then they went back to sleep. I would have a hard time going back to sleep. Now, listen, they were just on their bikes. That's the only conveyance they had, so they probably had no choice but to stay where they were.
God almighty, Preston, you know that a grizzly bear has wandered into your camp. I don't care. Pack up and get the F out.
Yeah. Surveillance video from a business in town showed the bear about a block from the post office about 15 minutes later. About 4:15 a.m., the sheriff's office received a 911 call from two people in a tent that were awakened by sounds of the attack. The fellow campers discharged bear spray at the animal to force it to flee, but not before it left Loken with fatal injuries. First responders and helicopter ambulance arrived at the scene and attempted to save her life, but they were unsuccessful. The bear is also believed to have entered a chicken coop in the town that night and ate several chickens. Officials searched by helicopter for the grizzly again Wednesday, but they couldn't.
Just got real.
They couldn't find it. Yeah, you could overlook that first.
The bear's going to do what a bear's going to do.
Right.
Those chickens weren't asking for it.
Investigators have obtained DNA from the bear at the scene of the attack.
Just like a pickle sandwich.
And will be able to compare it with any Bruin that they are able to trap. Loken had taken previous long-distance bike trips on, and on this one was accompanied by her sister and a friend. That's horrible.
Especially, and I just harken back to this, if you've ever been or seen a bear's claws.
Oh, yeah.
They're spikes. Yep. And the damage they can do quickly is unbelievable, especially a grizzly bear.
Yeah, I saw footage of a snowboarder who, you see her, she's got her headphones in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the bear is running behind her.
Yes. Like, you see.
She's
clipping her boots in, she's singing. Blah, blah, blah. And the whole time you just see this bear behind her.
Yeah.
And she's going down the mountain and this bear is chasing her the whole time. She had no clue.
Yep. A night of family, friends, and fireworks ended with people running for their lives and a man in the hospital with a gunshot wound this past Sunday night. Residents of the King's Manor neighborhood said an elderly man started firing his gun at them because he didn't like them shooting fireworks off. So somebody shot back at the man and hit him in the leg.
Well, there you go.
Now we
got a gunfight.
Police report they were alerted to shots fired in the neighborhood dispute around 11 p.m. Residents said an elderly man who lived on the block expressed not liking that his two neighboring houses were shooting fireworks. He then started shooting his gun at the group of about 25 people. I might have called the police or something.
Yeah, or walked over and said, listen, you know, could you guys keep it down or whatever? Something. I think if your first step is to shoot into the crowd, you've made a big mistake.
About 10 children ran to safety along with the adults into homes and down the street. Witnesses said the man had a large gun, possibly an AR-15. In the madness, someone returned fire at the elderly man and hit him in the leg.
Wow!
No one else was hurt that night, but neighbors say that it could have been much worse. Police aren't releasing the identity of the elderly man. He was taken to the hospital and released the same night. Investigators won't discuss if any charges are being filed, saying that this is an ongoing investigation.
I can't die without telling someone this. I did porn.
Speaking of guns, Remington Arms turned over a trove of bizarre documents that included tens of thousands of images of random cartoons and pictures to lawyers representing the families of victims in the Sandy Hook school massacre as part of a lawsuit against the bankrupt gunmaker. Lawyers representing the nine families said that Remington, as part of discovery proceedings, sent more than 18,000 cartoons, more than 15,000 random pictures, and nearly 2,000 videos and GIFs that included ice bucket challenges and gender reveal parties, according to a motion filed by the families' lawyers at Connecticut Superior Court last week. The cartoons and pictures included images depicting a bowl of ice cream, Santa Claus, as well as people go-karting, riding dirt bikes, and socializing, the lawyers claim.
I like ice cream and I like Santa Claus.
I like go-karts, too.
Yeah.
One image shows a meme of a sliced-up minion from the Despicable Me franchise. The unusual twist in the court case was first reported by the Connecticut Post. The Sandy Hook family lawyers charged this was a tactic to delay the proceedings.
It's actually pretty good. It says filet mignon.
Filet mignon.
Yeah.
The attorneys charged there's no possible reasonable explanation for this conduct. The lawyer said now 7 years into this litigation, a litigation that has twice been delayed by Remington's bankruptcy filings, the plaintiffs are no closer to having their day in court. Lawyers from Remington did not immediately return a request for comment. This is a follow-up story. Three causes of death have been found following an autopsy of an Ohio woman who died after riding a roller coaster at Holiday World and Splash and Safari theme park in Indiana. Yeah, in June, 47-year-old Dawn Jankovic had climbed aboard the Voyage roller coaster at the Santa Claus Indiana Amusement Park. And when the ride returned, she was dead. She was unresponsive.
Yes.
They performed first aid. She was rushed to the hospital. And she had passed away.
And so, she was in good shape.
Yeah, so for nearly a month, her cause of death remained a mystery. But Wednesday, coroner Katie Shuck had announced the results. The causes of Jankovic's death are severe internal blood loss, the tearing of an artery, and force from the roller coaster. Simply put, the force from that roller coaster called the Voyage caused her right internal thoracic artery to tear, resulting in rapid blood loss.
So what I imagine is that at some point her head whipped around or something, and that ripped the artery. And that, but I mean, that is a one in a, I don't know what the odds would be shot of having that happen. She seemed to be in good shape. She's on this roller coaster.
Yeah,
it's been tested, and you have this anomalous death.
Coroner said that the roller coaster was functioning properly, adding that the death had nothing to do with the ride itself. She said it basically was just the force.
Wow.
It was a reaction her body had from riding the ride. It had nothing to do with a malfunction or anything as far as safety and that type of thing.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. I'd never heard of that happening
before. No, neither have I.
Jankovic's death had been ruled an accident, by the way. Wow. All right, and that's what I have in the bizarre file for now. We got more stories. We'll get to those a little bit later on. We're going to break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to a Philadelphia legend who's hanging it up, and that is Mark Zumoff. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Hi, this is Laura Frederick, owner of Laura's Princess Appearances Character Entertainment Company, based in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and serving New Jersey and Pennsylvania. If you're looking to create extra magic at your next event, invite one of our realistic princesses, superheroes, swimming mermaids, or beyond, at the most affordable character pricing in the tri-state area. Follow us at Laura's Princess Appearances on Facebook and Instagram, and check out laurasprincesses.com to learn more. Hope to celebrate with you soon.
Next message.
Jazz Boots, Philadelphia. This is Tim Radecki, writer and co-creator of the independent comic book series Superbud. We've launched a Kickstarter to fund the printing and distribution of our comic book. All three issues are available to pre-order through the Kickstarter campaign. Superbud is an action comedy that asks the question, what would happen if marijuana gave you superpowers? For fans of Seth Rogen and Marvel movies alike, the hilarious comic is available on Kickstarter through August 5th. For more information, check out superbudcomic.com. Pre-order your copy today. Thanks, Preston and Steve.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
Before we welcome our next guest, yes, the Daily Rush video is titled Veiny Penis Cheese and Casey's Fart.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's like the book, the Harper Lee book.
Yeah, description says Preston likes veiny penis cheese and Casey's Fart is just one more entry into the HR violation file. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar.
So yes.
Watch away.
Highbrow.
My friend. Speaking of highbrow, our next guest is one of the best. He's retiring after 44 years of broadcasting, made the announcement, I believe it was last week, and 27 seasons on television with the Sixers. He's been covering the Sixers for the past 39 years, and we like to call him a friend of the show. We have music, Casey?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We got to do that. Yeah. Please welcome our friend, Mr. Mark Zumoff, to the show. Zoo, good morning to you.
Thank you very much. It's good to be still relevant. I'm glad you're having me on. Thank you.
Oh, your relevancy will not wane that quickly, sir. So yeah. I think your legend is solid.
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
You're kind.
How long? What did you have this year set aside as the retirement year, or did something happen and you said, "Well, I think this is going to be it"?
No, it's really been a long-term plan. I signed my last contract 3 years ago, and I pretty much knew a year in it was going to be it. And then I ticketed this year to sort of try to figure it out, what it is that I was going to be doing post-retirement. I just always thought, guys, even when I first got the job, that when I went out, I wanted to leave while I could still do it, while I was still viable, you know, not making mistakes, still reasonably good on the air. And I didn't want to go out at a point in my life where I wouldn't be able to do anything else. So
right.
I'm 65. I could still do a lot of things. I'm still physically active. I think I still have my wits about me. So I'll just continue to keep on. And the only thing is I won't be doing Sixers basketball.
You know, the funny thing is, though, as I, Mark, as I look at the list of things that you had mentioned, and I saw this written in a few interviews with you, that you wanted to pursue, you wanted to learn a language, a musical instrument, and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, we had a whole pandemic that you could have jumped in and learned something. Why now? The only thing I see, though, travel, I understand you couldn't do the travel. And of all the things that I think that you want to be able, you know, physically able to move around and get around and do all that stuff, I could see that. So would you say travel is the main impetus for wanting to retire now?
I'll tell you what, the main impetus is my beautiful bride, who is still in bed. I think that when I think about it, she had her own high-pressure career. She raised two beautiful boys. She kept it together while I was off traveling the country playing sportscaster boys. So I figured, number one, I owed it to her.
Right.
And she's my best friend anyway. So we love hanging. We love doing a lot of different things. And for me, again, along with just being with her, it was my opportunity to, as you said, play a musical instrument, speak a foreign language, get better in the kitchen, not to mention just some other projects. I'd like to be able to do some teaching, some things that are broadcast related. I just won't have the rush that you guys have every morning. That's yeah. being low on the air.
Right. Mark, you know, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, I'm happy that you get to do this at this point in your life. But selfishly, I'm sad. You know, it's great for you, but for us as a fan, it's difficult. We're just not going to have you be a part of these games. And you've added so much. But I'm lucky because I've had you be the announcer for the Sixers for a long time. My son, who's gotten into the Sixers over the last two or three years, much more so than I have, was devastated when he heard the news that you were retiring because he loves hearing your voice every game. So he doesn't have the luxury of having you around as long as you've done it and as long as I've had. But when I caught the recap of the last playoff series that you and Ala were doing, it's in retrospect, watching that video, it looked like you knew, but you hadn't announced it yet. So did anybody else in the broadcasting booth or in the team know that this announcement was coming?
So it's amazing to me that a fair number of people actually did know. And the fact that it was kept quiet in this day and age was, I think, a minor miracle. I did feel compelled to tell certain people before I announced it just because I love them so much and I didn't want them to hear it from anybody else. So Ala knew, my producer Jared Quilla knew, my boss Sean Oleksiak knew, there were some select NBC executives who knew, and some select Sixer executives who knew, and then that was basically it. Wow. So the fact that it was kept quiet, again, I'm kind of shocked, but I'm glad that it was, and the Sixers and NBC were very respectful in terms of how I wanted to announce, and they put an essay up, which I think hopefully explained it all, And I have to tell you what, and you were very kind to say some of the words that you just said. You just, to borrow the hockey term, you skate up and down your wing, you mind your own business, you muck and grind, and you do what you have to do to get your job done, to be as good as you can be. And all of us in this business, in fact, all of us in this world have an ego. And the question is, can you tamp it down and continue to do your job and not let it interfere with your job or your life? And I would hope that by and large, I was able to do that. But people kept telling me, my confidants who I told before I was retiring, they kept saying, wait till you see the reaction when it becomes public. Yeah. And even though they had warned me, I'm overwhelmed and very grateful that my fans and colleagues and friends have been so kind after the announcement.
Yeah, I mean, you did an amazing job of allowing the players on the floor to be the stars of the show and just sort of sell the sizzle on what was going on. And you and Ala, you guys were a great team. I want to ask you about, you know, the people that you've worked with in the past, if you want to highlight any of, your color guys, as well as, you know, so I graduated high school with Joe Crawford's daughter. And so as a result of that, I've actually had the opportunity to talk to Joe Crawford on many occasions. And you and he have, you know, had similar experiences in the sense that you called some of the greatest players that have ever played the game. When you do what you've done for as long as you did, we're talking about all the players today. You go through Jordan and Magic and Larry Bird, and you just go through all of them. So I want to ask you about what your favorite era of basketball was for you to call, and you know, can you talk about some of your other your color guys?
Sure. So I'll take the first question first. I do think that the golden era of basketball was ushered in by Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. I just think that the game became much different just in terms of popularity And then you began to see the merging of not only sport, but entertainment. Of course, Michael Jordan, the greatest player ever to play our game. So I had the chance not only to cover him as the halftime host, but a play-by-play guy as well. And then I got to give it up to our guy, Allen Iverson, who I think was the epitome of that era where basketball and entertainment sort of converged and gave me some great material. I'm grateful for the shout out during his Hall of Fame speech. And as soon as I had a chance to thank him, I said, Allen, you gave me some great stuff to work with. So I have to thank you. But in regards to partners, you know, I started with the mayor, Steve Mix, and we had 13 great years together. And that really epitomized the Iverson era. We were locked in for a good part of that. Malik Rose, I have some great memories of working with him. Ed Pinckney, of course. And then Ala, who just brought to the broadcast, I think, a perfect amount of levity, intelligence, and innate knowledge of the game. And I'll tell you what, of all the compliments that you can get, I think, as a play-by-play guy, the greatest compliment is you two guys sound good together, that you have chemistry. You guys have chemistry. I hear it most mornings when I tune in. You can just tell that you all sort of know each other's moves in a way. And I'm grateful for Ala and the time that we spent together. And that's one of the things I'll miss is the chemistry that I had with him.
Wow. It's a cool thing to be a part of. And it's funny the way you mentioned not being prepared for the adulation and everything that is happening. And obviously that's going to continue for quite a while. But you had mentioned about some ideas as far as perhaps teaching and helping other people become the next generation of greats in your vocation. When do you think you might start doing that? Is there going to be a period of becoming the world's greatest guitarist and traveling and all that? how soon before people can partake of your vast wealth of knowledge and perhaps learn from you?
First of all, I think I'm always teaching just based on the fact that young people are getting a hold of me all the time, whether it's through my website or email or social media, just asking questions, wanting to befriend me, and I'm more than happy to do that. But I have to tell you that one of my great inspirations is a physicist who was has since passed on. His name is Richard Feynman, and I think he was more prominent like in the 60s and 70s, but there's a Twitter account that continues to proliferate a lot of his philosophies, and I don't know exactly who runs it. He's got like 500,000 followers. And one of the sayings that I took off of that Twitter account was, when one teaches, two learn. So when I interact with young people, I not only teach them, but it sort of reinforces a lot of things that I kind of learned along the way. And also, I learned from them because, as you guys know, our business is changing now a mile a minute. And they put me down with a lot of technological advances that, quite frankly, I didn't know about. And today, of course, you know, if you have a mic and you have a laptop and you have your iPhone, you could brand yourself and start making money as soon as you get enough followers. So I hope to be teaching soon. I don't think it'll be this fall, but maybe the spring or the following fall, I'll be doing it formally somewhere.
Nice. Hey, Mark, I wanted to ask you, with basketball being your vocation for the last 40 years, what does the game become to you now?
Well, it's really changed a lot. And I remember my first year, 82-83, the Sixers won the title. And during the pandemic, we had the opportunity to remember that team. We did some interviews with Julius Erving, Billy Cunningham et al. And I watched some of those games and how much different it was. So much of the game was based on the lane, whether it was getting inside, getting it to the big man, playing inside out. And while they do that today, the three-point line has been has signaled a seismic shift just in terms of how the game is played. You know, there was a time, we're talking about the 82-83 season, you know, if a team took four or five threes a game, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And now you have players taking, you know, 7, 8, 9 threes a game. Some of the good guys like Seth Curry and his brother Steph. So,
well,
that to me has become the biggest change. But these are the greatest athletes that I've seen in the era that I've been covering NBA basketball.
What I actually meant by that question, that's interesting stuff, though, Mark, is what does it become to you now that you won't be working in that industry? What does it become to you as a viewer of? Are you going to watch every game? Are you going to know what's going on all the time? How are you going to treat that now in your personal life?
There's absolutely no way that I'm going to be as deeply involved because it was my job.
Right.
So that there was extensive research that was put into every game. I would pay attention to everything that was happening around the league every season and made sure that I made note of it in some form or fashion. I'll be an ardent fan. I'll watch a lot of Sixers games. I can't say I'm going to watch every one because, you know, I might be doing other things, but I'll be there and I'm not going to be one of those guys to hang around. I'm not going to
gotcha.
You know, show up Wells Fargo Center like 25, 30 times a year. Right.
No, people would not mind.
Right. Mark, really right. Well, you know what? I appreciate that, but really it the vibe for me is going to just be a lot different, but
right.
I'll still be a fan and I'll follow the Sixers as closely as I possibly can.
I'm sure you'll be humble in this response, but Philadelphia has had it great when it comes to broadcasters, yourself included, but Harry Callis and Bill Campbell and, you know, with the Phils now with Tom McCarthy and the radio team of Fransky in L.A. and Jim Jackson. I mean, Jim is just such a pro, and I like watching the Flyers more because of Jim Jackson. I liked watching Sixers games more because of you. Do you think Philadelphians realize how good we have it?
Let's put it this way. I've come to realize that it's an awesome responsibility that because we love sports so much, and trust me, I've been to, 29 other markets, and there is no market that embraces its sports like we do. I was there in Minneapolis in 2018 for the Super Bowl win. Mm. I've been there for the Sixers, two titles here in Philadelphia, for the Phillies titles, for the Flyers, two Stanley Cups in the 70s. And it's what pulses through my veins. I am, and I've tried to say this on any one of a number of interviews, I am first and foremost a fan. And I'm no different than you guys or any of the people in the stands. So I've grown to realize the awesome responsibility of being the voice of a team because people invite you into their homes on a nightly basis. And they want to know that you are telling the story of the game from the viewpoint that they want to hear. That's why we hate the national announcers so much. And I feel bad because those are my colleagues, yeah. and they essentially do a pretty good job. But you mentioned some great voices, past and present, McCarthy, Jackson, Harry Callis, Merrill Reese. Let's not forget him. It's been a pleasure and a privilege. And the only redeeming quality and the only thing now that I think I'll be doing live, if you guys will have me back, is the Papa
Show. Of course.
Yes.
It's got to be.
We can't let you get.
Listen, it's on my resume.
No,
it was going to be my final question. Yeah. I'm glad you answered it. But there's no way you can't stay. We got to keep the juice flowing here a little bit. We got to keep you in there somehow or another. So yeah. The Papa Shot Challenge is perfect to keep those broadcasting chops alive.
And let me just say that what you guys do, and I know you've heard the adulation before, but what you guys do, any way that you can use your vehicle to give back is tremendous. And listen, Father Time's going to catch up to all of us. And as much as we love having you guys on the air, at some point there's going to be something that happens where you're just going to have to say, all right, you know what? I got to move on and do something else. And you guys are going to see, because you have been a Philadelphia institution, Preston and Steve and Casey and all of you, you're going to see how much people love you. And you're going to be shocked by it, but trust me, it's going to happen.
Well, luckily, you know, people are so kind, and we get a lot of that now, and it's a mutual feeling. This is the spotlight deservedly on you right now.
Yep.
And we're excited for what's coming next for you. And you will keep in touch, so we will find out where you are and what you're doing.
Yeah.
Please do. Like I said at the top, keep me relevant.
Of course. Yeah, all right, Mark, we love you. Congratulations on your retirement. We appreciate you coming on this morning. Mark Zumoff, guys.
Yay!
Thanks, dude. Take care, man. All right.
Yes.
I love it. And I was hoping, like I said, I was going to say that for this last question. Yeah. He beat me to the punch. I love it. He will be back at the Camp Out for Hunger for the Pop Shot Challenge.
He raised the bar so much. Yeah. Oh, my God. It would be impossible to do it anywhere near as good as he does.
It makes it so much more exciting.
You did a great job, but at a certain point, watch him do it.
Just sit back and watch how it's done, folks. That's what you do. Wow. Hey, speaking of basketball, did you guys see the National Spelling Bee last night?
No. I saw the final.
So, there is a basketball element
to
it.
I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, so I had seen the girl who ended up winning. I saw a feature on a few days ago. Her name is Zayla Avant-Garde. That's her name. Zayla Avant-Garde is her last name. She won the Scripps National Spelling Bee last night. She is this phenom on like many levels. Number one, she's the first African American to win. They did have a black boy when he was from Jamaica, so not African American per se. But she is the first African American to win. And she has this other talent. She holds 3 Guinness World Records for dribbling.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
And have you seen the video?
No, I have not.
So, Steve, she takes these different colored basketballs, and some of them are different sizes, too, like 7 or 8 of them.
And keeps them going?
And not only that, bouncing them off of walls, behind her, through her legs. Okay. It's crazy.
All right, so is she the one I saw on the unicycle as well?
Maybe. I wouldn't doubt it. She's like this mega talented gal. And she has these world records, and now she won the Scripps National Spelling Bee. And she only started, I believe, she's 14 years old. I think she only started like getting into the spelling competition stuff like 2 years ago.
So the basketball thing was her main thing, and the side thing is the spelling?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, thank God there are people as capable on earth.
Yeah, she's got 6 basketballs there. It's
Casey,
unreal.
She can dribble and unicycle at the same time.
Press, look to your left. She is unicycling and dribbling. It's
it's crazy. And she uses different size. Like, even if you like juggling, you use different size, you know, juggling pieces that you're throwing around. It makes it that much more complex. Same thing with, you know, I would imagine dribbling basketballs. You gotta put a certain amount of pressure to get the height out of it and so on. But she's just this absolute phenom. And she won it. And like I said, I saw a feature a couple of days ago on her because they were projecting that she might have the chance to go all the way. And she won the whole damn thing.
It shows you if you stay committed and just work hard. I mean, now obviously she's blessed with some natural talents. But to just say, to get into the spelling thing and then in short order win it, that requires a lot of hard work.
So the person from Jamaica that I said 1998 was Jody Ann Maxwell. But Zayla had correctly spelled the word Maria
kayak.
Maria.
They called the wind Maria.
You know what? We should do a spelling bee with Jackie Bam Bam sometime.
Oh my God!
We do that. We do that with
Jackie versus Jeremy.
Yeah. Jackie versus Jeremy.
You know?
I love it. He can't say it, but he's probably like a spelling whiz.
You never know with Jackie. he just can't pronounce kayak.
But what if he can dribble basketballs? It'd be tremendous.
He can smoke in the shower. I know that for sure.
So she what'd you say?
He's a big nose.
He can smoke in the shower.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right. Maria, I believe, is the word that she spelled correctly.
Could you use it in a sentence, please?
It is a genus of tropical Asiatic and Australian trees.
Let me ask you, I understand that they were thinking of making an amendment to the rules where now you need to piece together a quasi-definition of the word. Have you heard that, Preston?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, that they might add that element. Because a lot of times what they're doing are spelling is they know, you know, a Latin variation or something. Okay, this word spelled this way is similar to another word. And they piece it together, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, so they'll ask what the origin of the word is. And if they say Latin, there are certain spelling
that might help
regularities from different languages of origin, and then they can help them piece that together. Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, so I'd be curious.
And that would be weird. A partial definition.
Yeah, so there's something subjective. Defining. Yeah, there's something that they were thinking about. And when I heard that, I'm like, you're going to make them spell these incredibly obscure words and then ask them to know a sort of definition.
Right. I can't even define words that I know what they mean.
Yeah.
Dude, my kids will sometimes, I will say a word and they'll ask what that means and then I'll be like, my God, how do I describe? I know what it means. I know what it, I know that word.
It means, are you happy with me paying your bills?
I know what the inference is, but but I can't break it down into definition terms. You know what I mean?
To articulate, because sometimes
like if somebody ask you to say, what's irony?
Right.
You know?
It's something that's ironic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like Reality Bites.
Exactly. Yeah. Define irony. Yeah. Define that. Give me a dictionary. So I'll define it for you.
Some words are so base and so, you know, so much the explanation of their own definition that you're like, you know, what?
Yeah.
I'll give a synonym. What's a synonym? How do you define synonym?
A word that is like another word?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're so smart.
I mean, well, I can't define irony, though. I can do synonym.
God, I misspelled a word this morning. What did I write down? Hang on a second. I've got it.
Oh, axiomatic?
I have it on one of my, I think on one of my shard outs. No, it wasn't that.
Intractable?
No, it was a simple word. It was a very simple word. And I added an extra G in it. And I'm like, you idiot. I remember what it was. Hang on. I think it was forgetting.
Oh,
yeah, I wrote forgetting. And I'm like, and then Casey, look, I covered over it. And I made the G into an E. I just made the E a little bit bigger.
Uh-huh.
I'm the only one that will read this, but I tried to fake, you know, try to hide it from myself.
We all do it.
God.
We all do it. Grammarly.
I would just be destroyed in a spelling contest.
Yeah.
There's no way I'd be able to have any chance of winning anything when it comes to that.
Can you dribble multiple basketballs?
One time, Steve and I were asked to be a part of this spelling bee.
That's right, yes.
With law firms.
Yes.
Okay, and they had really, really good spellers. Uh-huh. And it was at, it was like the Ritz-Carlton or something like that, and we're sitting at these tables.
It was a banquet lunch.
And so our job, or at least mine at my table job, was once the brains had decided on a spelling, they would tell me what it was, and then I would say,
right.
Oh, right.
I would spell it. I would just, because I'm like, dude, I can't help you. There's no way I'm going to figure out these words. I even messed that up. I got one wrong.
Oh, that they had spelled correctly.
I said it wrong. I'm a goddamn broadcaster.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't even speak the words.
Oh, man.
At this spelling bee. I think I was just because I was nervous.
Yeah.
All right, so two words that I have a problem with are effect and effect. And not only that, like, well, I can spell them both, but I just, and they almost have similar meanings, do they not?
Kathy actually asked me the other day, is it an A or an E, and for the way that she was using it. And I don't remember what the answer was. But, yeah, I messed. Some of them, you have to do it out loud. You have to write it down. And there's no shame in that. You know, like, once you write it out or say it out loud, sometimes it helps you figure out which one you're supposed to use.
Yeah, effect is one of those I have no problem with. Yeah. I don't know
really?
Why. I always think of the two things that I pop in my mind are special effect. And how does that affect me?
There you go.
And also,
and then I use those as references and an affectation.
Okay, so when something affects me, that's an A?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yes. Oh, A.
I have been affected by that. Yeah, it's
but,
with
yeah,
an A.
But the effect on that has affected you.
But it can affect you, right?
Yes, okay. Right. Exactly.
Give me a synonym for both of those words so I don't ever have to use them again.
A synonym?
Yeah.
What's a synonym?
you put it on a snickerdoodle.
You got a synonym?
I made snickerdoodles with synonyms last night.
Hang on a second. Let me go to a call here. I have Papa Z on the line. Oh, hey, Papa Z, good morning.
Yo, what's happening?
By the way, Connor misspelled definition in our screen.
Did you do that on purpose?
Double F. Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose? All right. What's up, Papa Z?
Hey, you got to have a hope because I'm the Pope.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know what that is.
Is that from a while ago?
That was a Steve line from way back.
Okay. Then. I thought it was. Thank you for the reminder, sir.
A little throwback.
So anyway, last night we watched the Scripps Spelling Bee.
Right.
And you were talking about that definition section. They didn't actually make the spellers do a definition. They gave them a multiple choice.
Oh.
And because of the edit, like it was a multiple choice of three. Because of the editing, I don't know if they did one round or two rounds, but there were six kids left at that point, and all of them got them right. And I'm not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, but you could kind of figure out. I had a pretty good guess on all of them.
Well, it was my understanding that the definition aspect was because they started ending up with seven or eight finalists, and they were trying to break these ties, and so they figured they'd add that element.
Yes. Well, last year or 2 years ago, they had an eight-way tie.
Yeah, I remember that.
For first, and they made this ceramic trophy that was kind of really nice looking.
Yeah.
But what they did was they said, oh, since we sat now have an eight-way tie, we have to give each contestant one of these trophies. So they said, we got to figure out a way of paring them down. Doing the definitions, I don't know. These kids, they're freaking brilliant when they go to examining the roots and the language of origin, and stuff like that.
And piecing
they
it together.
Figure this stuff. So at the very least, if you have choice three, it's kind of a coin flip. They can, because of how well they are with language, they can rule like at least one, if not two, to get the right one.
Yep.
These kids are really, really smart.
Agreed. All right. Thanks, Papa Z. Appreciate it, brother. Take care. By the way, Casey, a number of people texting in the way, and Kathy, effect and affect. Effect is a noun, so it's a thing.
Yeah, no, I listen.
And effect is a verb, and effect is, you know.
Oh.
So I think
I know it. I know the difference, but the way I was using it, it should have been, I thought, effect. But Nick was like, well, no, and here's why.
Yeah. It can get confusing.
It is confusing.
Sometimes a verb can be a noun. You know, like you have to figure out what the context is of that word in that particular sentence.
Also, sometimes word definitions change and modify, and actual word spellings and pronunciations will change.
Yeah. So here, for one more for affect versus effect, use raven. Remember, affect, verb, effect, noun. So raven is...
What?
Remember, spell raven wrong? Remember, affect, verb, effect, noun.
Oh, okay.
Raven.
Right. Ravine.
It's just telling you which is the verb and which is the...
Oh, that's an anagram.
Mnemonic device or...
A mnemonic device.
Yeah. That's right, an anison.
Bananagram.
That's Jennifer Aniston.
Banana stand.
Speaking of word stuff, I have an interesting little topic that ties off of this, if you guys don't
mind. Are you the linguist now?
I am the linguist. the cunning linguist. Word and grammar experts... had asked dozens of managers what bothered them the most when they talk to employees and read emails or DMs from them.
So this is at work.
Yes.
Right.
Most common complaint, all the junk words and phrases that are used.
Mm-hmm.
Too many of us fill our conversations with useless, clunky, and pretentious words and phrases, especially ones that have duplicate meanings. In some cases, they aren't technically incorrect, but they're just kind of a pain in the ass.
It becomes word salad, as they say.
So here's a couple of them. I'll pass. Some of them are stupid. Some of them you go, okay, I could see that. So let me give you a couple of examples. The first one is 3 a.m. in the morning.
Right. 3 a.m. gets it done.
Yeah. A.m. Right. means morning.
In the morning.
So it actually means it's an abbreviation for ante meridiem.
Right.
Which means before noon. So
which is what the Captain America's shield is made out of.
That's right. Yeah. No, that's vibranium, but very close. So if you use the complete phrase, you're actually saying 3 before noon in the morning. Just say 3 a.m. and that gets it done.
There's a term for that. It's a logical term. Is it described in this article, Preston? Using 3 a.m. in the morning, there's actually a word that describes that.
Redundant? Okay. It's not
No, it's
here.
Not redundant, but I'll see if I can find it.
Here's another one. Absolutely essential. One dictionary definition of essential is absolutely necessary, which makes absolutely essential mean absolutely, absolutely necessary.
Yeah, essential is an absolute.
Yeah, so clearly the absolutely modifier isn't essential at all.
Right.
And for that matter, we're not wild about absolutely necessary either, they said. Avoid them both.
What about shiznit and shiznot?
So you said shiznit today.
Yeah.
Yesterday you said all that in a bag of chips. We're going back in a time machine to the 90s now.
Shiznot.
It's called tautology.
Shiznit or shiznot.
Tautology.
T-A-U.
Tautology is a form of logic where it becomes redundant. So if you do any of these things, you are being tautological.
Right. Or all a dickhead.
Here's another one. Actual fact.
An actual fact.
Yeah, a fact is something that is known to be true, and actual means existing in fact. An actual fact then pretty much means a factual fact.
However, the inclusion of Jack after fact is actually a modifier. That's a fact, Jack.
That's a fact, Jack.
I think I've used that, though, like in an argument where someone's like, no, that's not the case. And I'm like, no, it's an actual fact.
Right. Right.
Okay, I think if you're
so how do I get the point across?
Well, if you say that it is a fact.
No, it gets is it done. A fact.
Right. Yeah.
But if you're arguing against facts that you know to be not true, you can say this is an actual fact. That is, you're doing a comparison. The one you're giving me is not a fact.
Or
it's BS.
Use Jack as a modifier.
So
Jack.
Can I say it is an actual fact?
It's a fact, Jack.
Only if it's disputing what another person says. If you're disputing the fact that they're using it's incorrect.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
Shiznit, shiznot.
Go ahead, Kath. You can do it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, here's another one. It says, at this point in time, or at the present point in time. Most managers, they said we've spoken to, complain about these phrases.
Right.
Why not just say now?
Or currently.
It's a lot shorter. Or currently, depreciate in value. Yeah. Depreciate alone means to lessen in value. Don't depreciate your writing by adding the redundant value to it.
It's like a hot water heater.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Some people hate it.
They get really upset
However,
about it.
However, was there not a point in time where I guess that was the common way to refer to it as a hot water heater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't tell a contractor.
Right, So that was, and, you know, that's the only way I knew of it growing up, the hot water heater.
Mm-hmm. I try not to let these things bother me because essentially, if you are getting your point across, then what does it matter?
They're just saying in a work setting that it's just adding, like Steve said, word salad. It's too much. Just get down to the bare minimum here.
Right.
Cut to the chase and get it done. That's how I feel in our meetings sometimes. I'm like, why are we talking about this? Can we eye on the ball here, folks?
Eye on the ball.
Eye on the ball. I had a dream about Kathy last night.
It's going to haunt me. Stop it.
All right. Another one is eliminate completely or eliminate entirely. Eliminate means completely remove. So the idea is completely and entirely there without the unnecessary adverbs. You can't eliminate something partially, so you don't need to specify how much eliminating you're doing.
It's appropriate, though, to say to your boss that you're hopelessly devoted to them, right?
Right, yes. Your heart and your head, you know,
hopelessly
I get it.
Devoted to you,
Yeah.
Let's see. End result, final outcome.
Yeah.
A result is at the end of something. You don't need to distinguish it from beginning result or a middle result since there are no such things.
Let me go international here. Nick, this is something that keeps cropping up. What does the word pizza itself mean?
Oh, I don't know.
Someone told me that pizza actually translates to basically pie. Huh. So when someone says pizza pie, they're saying pie. Pizza.
Yeah, right?
Pie.
Right.
Pie. It's a good question.
But that may not be accurate.
Huh. Oh, there's a joke in Mickey Blue Eyes where he goes, the name of the bar is the La Trattoria. And basically they're saying, so the name of the bar is the Trattoria. And Steve, I guess pizza...
The term pizza was first recorded in the 10th century in a Latin manuscript from the southern Italian town of Gaeta in Lazio on the border of whatever. Modern pizza.
Etymology here.
Where'd you go, dude?
I went to the etymology of the word.
Right. It's okay, like peas that you eat with dinner. Oh, no, that's edamame.
Latin text from the central Italian town of Gaeta is still part of the Byzantine Empire. The text states that the tenant of certain property is to give the bishop a didicium pizza.
Jesus Christ.
12 pizzas every Christmas Day and another 12 every Easter Sunday. I don't know.
I don't see anything about it being pie, though, Steve.
All right.
Yeah, so like pita is related to it, like the word pita.
Right.
Like pita pocket. Bizzo means mouthful. So it's sort of a combination of all these. But all I don't think when you say pizza pie, you are being redundant.
Well, in Italian, the word pizza means pie.
Oh. Well, then never mind.
Thank you, Kathy.
I yield to the senator from Arkansas.
The defense rests.
I'd like to reclaim some of my pizza time, please.
I mean, Kathy did exactly what this whole conversation is about. She's very efficient here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. So
pizza means pie.
In Italian. That's what you
In the 11th century, Pope Pizzazzo went to the village of Cotario, where he made 12 pizzazzas. It says here pizza means pie. He rode a donkey in a circle for 7 days. Pizza means pie.
Preston, do you get this one? The L.A. Dodgers? So it's the Los Angeles Dodgers, which is Los means the. So you're saying the. I know.
Some of these are nitpicky.
Yes. It is. It is. Yeah. It's a weird thing, but people get persnickety about it.
Yeah. So the town is the Angels, right?
Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly.
The Angels.
But you're saying the twice if you're being technical about it.
So I think once you start to throw words, non-English words.
Right.
I think, like pizza pie, I think you're okay.
The By Los the word, Angeles Angels. The Los Angeles Angels are the Angels Angels.
Also be aware that that if you get too persnickety about this, that you're a dick.
Yeah.
Persnickety.
Like, I'll give you a couple of examples. Like, this one says, feel badly. Like, that's a phrase that, that is too clunky. It says, for some reason, many people that adding the L-Y to bad makes it sound better. So they say, I feel badly instead of I feel bad. But that's wrong. Do you ever say, I feel greatly? The only time you should say you feel badly is if you aren't good at physically touching something.
Right.
Okay.
You're feeling this thing poorly.
My sense of touch is poor.
Right. What if you are telling War Child to back off? Don't you think you are already serious at this point? Do you even have to say seriously afterwards?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Seriously?
Back off, War Child. Seriously.
Seriously.
Serious.
He may not know your level of commitment.
He should have said, back off, War Child. I'm serious.
Yeah, that's it. A clarification.
Yeah.
Jack.
Exact same. That's a phrase. Exact same.
The exact same thing.
If something is the same as something else, there's no degree of difference between them. You can say nearly the same, but exact same means, well, it's same.
So it's same.
Even though some guides and dictionaries say it's okay when used to emphasize the point that something is literally the same, it's still repetition and best to avoid, it says.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's also like an argument thing where, you know, it's the exact same.
Right,
thing.
Yes.
It's an actual fact. Impact. Yeah. And so you can articulate it that way. And I don't think anyone would slight you for getting a little histrionic on it.
Right. All right, how about this phrase? Well, just a couple more here. Postpone until later.
Well, postpone is...
Of course you're going to postpone something. You're not going to do it until later.
I'm postponing it till right now.
Right. Yeah. Let's postpone this until now.
Let's table this conversation for right now.
Right.
How about incredibly unique? Is that on there?
Because no.
Unique, defined by itself, it can't be... It's only one.
Right.
So it's saying... Incredibly or very
they're
unique
not,
or whatever.
It's like stages.
You're not, you're not adding to the definition of unique
What does incredible mean?
Unbelievable.
Amazing. Like,
unbelievable?
Credible means...
Unbelievable.
Well, you think of something being credible, that's believable. If it's incredible, it's not at all believable.
Like the incredible edible egg.
Right. Like
right.
Like the credible Hulk.
Yeah.
Right.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah,
I could buy that. Sure, big green guy. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure. It's actually just a large guy who works at the low. That's the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, my name is Stu.
Incredible, is impossible to believe.
Yes.
Difficult to believe or extraordinary.
Let me ask you, here's a side question, and I'm sure it figures into this workplace vernacular conversation. Do you prefer the Incredible Hulk or Professor Hulk?
Oh, Incredible Hulk, 1,000%.
Okay.
Can you have
1,000%? Oh, as far as the MCU goes?
Yep.
I like Professor Hulk better.
Oh,
I like him with the personality. I think it's great.
Okay.
I think it's hilarious, actually.
In case you
love when he tells the kids, he's like, listen to your mother. She knows better, all right?
Wait, are you asking if I like the character or the title?
Which version of the Hulk? The Incredible Rage Monster Hulk or Professor
Hulk?
See, I like
the title Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, okay. Hulk Ragnarok Hulk was my favorite Hulk. Where he was kind of in between.
All right. Okay. Not as eloquent.
Right.
And still beastly.
I'm like raging fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
That was good, actually.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep the kryptonite away from me.
Now you're Dikembe.
I'm sorry.
You're Dikembe Mutombo now. Cookie Monster.
I want to open up a school in Kenya. Yeah.
What?
Have you opened up a children's hospital?
Here's one. ATM machine. It's the automatic teller machine.
That's a Mac machine anyway.
All right, Philly boy.
Yeah, right.
I like
Rochelle still says tap Mac from time to time. Yeah, I gotta go tap Mac.
Norm McDonald's bit on identification.
Oh, I.
Oh, yeah. Identification.
Right, yeah, which stands for I. ID, identification.
All right, I want to go to this. Somebody wants to be nitpicky about something that I do. We're going to go to Tim. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Men shouldn't get flowers, by the way.
Men shouldn't get flowers. All right.
You just hate me. All right, what's up, Tim?
Every day in your segments, you say one last. You should never say one last because there only can be one last.
That's true.
You say one last.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
One last thing.
One last story.
What if I were to say one more thing?
One more is fine.
Okay.
I don't know.
Suck it, Tim.
Haven't you ever seen a tie? Somebody can tie for last. So there, essentially, there are two last things.
That's in a competition, though.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay. He's talking about. He's
just, I know you're defending me, and I appreciate
bizarre that. Bizarre file story.
But shut up.
One.
And remember, no flowers for men.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
You sound like a keeper, Tim.
You're welcome.
Thanks, bud.
I think Tim is
sitting at the picture window of his house, looking across at the neighbor. I hate him.
All right, one last thing.
Well done.
Wise. Okay, so, and by that, I mean as a suffix. Suffix. I'm sorry, not suffix. Suffix.
Suffix, yes.
So people add suffix wise onto words, to make them have more potent and more weight. But it can sound, it says here, pretty ridiculous. In other words, you actually sound a lot less worse grammar wise if you tack on the unnecessary suffix.
Yeah, again, it's just a flourish, and there is a case to be made for that. Like, Sam Wise should just be Sam.
Right.
Yeah.
but, yeah, I use the Wise thing quite a bit. It's just a way to
be
wise.
You what?
I don't judge you.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I have a friend who's an English teacher, and when I converse with them, I actually, one of our last correspondences, I go, I can't help but think that you're judging me as when you read my things because... this is what you do for a living, and they indeed do not, or at least they said they do not.
No, they absolutely do. And then they put your email up on a bulletin board.
Look at this guy. All
right. Sorry, Tim, I wasn't really mad at you. Just joking around. Okay, we should take a break and come back. I would like to again mention the fact that we have some great food here. Deetsam Watson has sent some friends by Anna's Corner Store in East Norton. They feature Deetsam Watson premium meats and artisan cheeses, so they are clearly a real Philly deli, and Anna's is a true mom-and-pop shop with the owner, Anna Ferry, feeding their customers like family every single day.
That's great.
In fact, you remember they have a sandwich named the Alfio. Alfio was the older gentleman. It was, I believe, Anna's dad.
Yeah,
who would make those Caesar salads in that big bowl that he brought in here.
I mean, he had this. This was... because of the oils and stuff like that, it was at the absolute optimum condition for making delicious Caesar salad.
I want to say he like made some for Sinatra or
yes,
something
he
like
did.
That.
Oh, yeah, he had lots of stories.
Yeah, and he came by and made some for us. It was really, really cool. So, and they brought in pickle witches.
Pickle witches.
So essentially, essentially a sandwich, but the bread are a big pickle. They took like the giant pickles you get out of the tub,
cut them
in half, hollow them out, and then fill it up with all kinds of sandwich goodness.
I mean, found out Kathy's a big pickle fan.
So I had their classic Italian pickle, which a little while ago, I had half of that. Kathy, the other half's in there for you if you want it.
Oh, thanks.
And Marissa's going to have the tuna salad pickle, which is a pretty sweet deal. So we thank those guys for coming by today. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Don't forget, we give away our Word of the Week prize this morning. We'll get in some other stuff when we return, so stay there. We'll be right back.
Podcasts? Oh, yeah. MMR's got them. There's the Fun Size and Bizarre File editions, along with Preston and Steve full show podcasts, plus the MM Archives podcast and more. Click podcasts on WMMR.com.
Can I mention a couple of real quick shout-outs, if you guys don't mind? This is from Emily and Greg Grace. It says, hey, I would like to request a shout-out for my wonderful husband, Greg, who's turning 65 on July 14th. So I'm getting into this a little bit early. He's been a fan of the Preston and Steve show since the Y100 days. Turned me on to MMR when I met him almost 34 years ago.
Wow.
We've attended countless events, including MMRBQs, blood drives, and spring training in Clearwater twice. But Greg has suffered from Parkinson's disease for many years and until recently was able to attend events, but now not as mobile, but listens to the station daily at home. Greg works hard every day to stay active and mobile despite his limitations, and he and I battle Parkinson's as a team every day as well. Listening to MMR keeps smiles on our faces every day, and you all have given us so much over the years to get us through the hard times. We don't ask for much, just a shout out. Thank you so much. We love you, and that's from Emily and Greg, so here is a shout out.
Want to give a cranking one for this game?
Yeah, let's do that.
Looking out for each other, taking care of each other.
Yes.
Yeah!
Case, you think you could add a live one onto there?
I wish I could, but no.
You got nothing in you?
I can't fart on command.
Tank is empty.
Okay.
Unlike yesterday.
Yeah, which was amazing. All right, one more says, hey, guys, I've been a loyal listener since Y100 days when I was growing up in Downingtown, and I'd like to send a shout out and my thanks to everyone behind the scenes, especially Marissa and the interns.
Mm, they're awesome.
That put the podcast together. I'm an ultra marathon runner in Colorado. Just down the road from legendary Red Rocks, and my training has me spending hours upon hours alone in the mountains. The 5 3-hour podcast you put out weekly for free, he puts in exclamation points, has kept me company and sane during months of training.
That's awesome.
For an upcoming 50-mile race.
50 miles.
Starting this Sunday at midnight. Whenever I'm feeling like wrapping a run early, I just remember one of my mantras, man, if the animals can find the strength, why can't we? So, yeah, thank you. Keep it up and know that I'll be happy to have you in my ears during this race and all others. You guys make every day and early morning run so much brighter. And that is from Ben Little.
Ben!
So here's a shout out to Marissa and the interns and everybody that handles all of the podcast stuff for us.
I love hearing that. My brother runs. My older brother, Gene, runs to our podcast.
Oh, cool.
I'm like, okay.
Nice. 50-mile run.
That's insane.
That's insane. Crazy, man.
Well, then a shout-out to Christine, who I ran into. Did I tell a story in the air or just off air? How I was riding my bike in Wildwood, and so this young lady was running in the opposite direction.
She
was like,
you.
I'm listening to you right now,
that's
literally.
Great.
So she's on the Wildwood Crest Beach Patrol. Her name's Christine. She's been a fan of the show forever. And as it turns out, Kevin Gunn used to be her softball coach.
So, oh.
Yeah. And
really?
Then, and I think Marissa might know her as well, but it was pretty well.
Nice. All right, Friday, let's clean out the junk drawer, get this stuff out the way, if you will. So we're going to start with one from a young lady who was here recently, and that is Chef Jennifer Zavala.
Yes.
Foxy Lady Chef. She officially, now she made the announcement on her show. She said she kind of wasn't going to, but she did.
She scooped everybody.
She signed a lease at 1941 East Passyunk Avenue to house Juana Tamale.
Yeah, I love it.
Juana Tamale, actually, is Jay. So Juana, I love that. Juana Tamale, a permanent location for her birria tacos. Tamale is another Mexican food that she had been selling since recently at Underground Arts. So she made the announcement, she's hoping to open it in September in the new spot. It was previously Figs and Olives and Mediterino Pizza, but it will now be her place. And it's also a few blocks from where she lives, which is cool. She's got two sons, Santino and Oscar, and her husband, Chris.
She's a doll. She's awesome.
Yep, she was really cool. Juana Tamale is the name, and she will be, it says the menu will be about 6 items served Thursday, Friday, Saturday, plus brunch every other Sunday. So I thought it'd be, a nice follow-up to somebody who was by here recently.
Nice write-up in the Inquirer today, I believe.
Yeah, Michael Klein.
Yeah, great article.
All right, let's see what else we got here. All right, what would you guys think about something like this in Philadelphia? But this is happening in New York. New York City's agency proposal has gone forward for a 24-hour entertainment district. Actually, several districts.
Yeah,
where revelers can party all night long.
So basically, like a Vegas vibe all night long. Marissa's loving it.
No. Marissa actually gave me a, I don't like that facial expression.
Really?
Surprised. Guess who's getting older?
No. I go with the How I Met Your Mother nothing good happens after 2 a.m. Even if the bar is open till 4, nothing good happens after 2. But during Eagle season, when you have to drive your RV down, I would like a beer available at 5 a.m.
All right.
Okay.
So, I gotcha. I would want to kind of on the front end.
Instead of just preparing ahead of time, right. You want...
Gosh!
When I used to do a morning show in New York, it's like... I'd be driving in around 3:30. There were tons of all night clubs and raves that were going on, and many of them illegal. But you see people out fully dressed up at that time, stumbling home.
I have on a couple of occasions coming down City Line Avenue on my way into work, have run into people who have not gone to bed yet.
Yep.
And one guy was out of his mind standing in the middle of the road. Actually, when I first saw him, he was laying in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's not good. So I ended up turning around.
Running him over.
No. I tried to, but he got out of the way.
He's quick.
No, I turned around. I was like, I feel like I need to help this dude out. So by the time I got back around to him, he was then standing up. And he was pointing his finger at me like he was holding a gun.
Pew, pew.
Dude. And he was like, give me all your money. And I was like, all right, I'm out of here. And I took off. And then
that
I ended up calling.
Fingers loaded.
I called 911.
Yeah. How do you know? You don't know. Mm-hmm. Listen, besides that, he could very well get himself killed.
Yeah.
So he needs to be taken care of.
Did you ever see that movie Upgrade? That dude had a gun in his arm, remember?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Could have been that guy. Anyway, so the recommendation is from the city's Office of Nightlife.
Now, I read this article, and I was wondering exactly where they had this going on.
They don't have it going on yet.
I mean,
so a limited 24-hour program might be tested. So, they just want to give it a shot for a little bit. But they say there are several areas that they could look into.
Yeah.
The report says cities around the world are expanding the way institutions and businesses can operate at night as limitations on closing hours have pushed late-night activity to unlicensed venues, sometimes coming into conflict with residential uses. Uniform closing hours for nightlife businesses can result in groups of people congregating in the streets, elevating tensions between patrons and residents. Report notes that Amsterdam began allowing nightlife venues to apply for 24-hour license in 2012, developing strict criteria for potential applications that included cultural significance, accessibility to public transportation, and locations without inconvenience to local residents.
So I wonder, as the clock shifts and there are more people maybe working third shift or fourth, people who are basically their nightlife begins in the wee hours.
Well, when I was a waiter back in the day, like when I got, we were done at 11, 11:30, sometimes 12 because it was like more of
a diner, right?
Well, no, we went to the Frontier Saloon afterwards and that closed at 2 o'clock. Yeah. But we knew we were working on limited time. So our first couple of drinks were Long Island iced teas. We were trying to hit the ground running.
All right, there's another item I need to get to. I just realized I should have done it.
All right.
We have not addressed the soccer match.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
We never did touch on that. So it's unfortunate news that Wrexham AFC was going to be playing the Union and in what they call a friendly. Imagine we had Rob McElhenney on. Rob was as partial owner of Wrexham, along with Ryan Reynolds, and wanted to get them here to play. Made the announcement. Rob, big deal about it. It's going to be a free game. It's been canceled.
Yeah, we were going to broadcast live that day. Collect for charities.
So it has to do with the team not being able to travel here.
There's restrictions.
Travel restrictions.
Yeah.
Time. It was too much of, there were too many work moving parts and couldn't get it together. So it's not going to happen this year at all. Unfortunately, it sucks.
An article, somebody from, I guess, it was one of the British papers was interviewing, maybe it was Pete Buttigieg. But anyway, they were talking about the restrictions and this guy was saying, his father died, and he wanted to attend the funeral here in the United States. They wouldn't let him.
Oh, wow.
They wouldn't let him in.
Wow.
No, and it's moving target, too, because the restrictions have changed. So they had clearance to come several weeks ago, and then last week things started to float in the wrong direction, and then this week they realized, listen, if we're going to call it, we have to call it now before tickets become available, before tickets get in people's hands. And it was, it was supposed to be 3 weeks from last night, and so they decided, if we're not going to be able to do this, we're literally fighting the U.S. State Department at this point. It's not a fight that we want to tackle.
It just sucks.
At the end of the day, it sucks. I mean, I was really, really jazzed about it. And
it's exactly what we needed.
It was going to benefit two incredible organizations, Phil Abundance and Cora. We'll try to find something else to do, a makeup or maybe another, you know, date down the road, maybe next summer, who knows. But Rob's bummed as well, as you can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. So, unfortunately, that's the story. But we'll hopefully have something.
Yeah.
Something else. Something else. All right. What else you got in the junk drawer? Excuse me. Brown trout can become addicted to methamphetamine.
Okay. Brown trout can become addicted to amphetamines.
Methamphetamine.
Huh.
Didn't we talk about this yesterday?
Uh-oh. Did we talk about this yesterday? No. Farted on command yesterday. I know that.
Why? Does this sound familiar to you?
I thought we did. Maybe it was off air. I had a conversation with someone.
See, when you said brown trout,
no,
I thought...
it was in the bizarre file.
Mm-mm. No, it wasn't.
Oh. I was on that other show.
Oh my God. Well, you work with Ben as well. Maybe you did
We don't talk about this stuff.
You may have seen a headline for it or something like that.
You know, the girly stuff you read.
What were you going to say?
I thought brown trout was a euphemism for poop.
Yeah, it can be.
Okay. All right.
But
it's an actual fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You learn stuff. Thank God I work here because you guys have taught me so much over the years.
We've made you the man you are.
So yeah. you thought brown trout was just a name for a
trouser trout is another one. That's a fart as well.
Oh, trouser trout.
Trouser trout. I like
trouser
that.
Snake.
Yes, I've heard that too. Anyway, the actual fish can become addicted to methamphetamine.
How does it get methamphetamine?
Researchers led by Pavel Horky, a behavioral ecologist from the Czech University of Life Sciences in Prague.
The beavers make it for them.
Set out to investigate whether illicit drugs alter fish behavior at levels found in bodies of water. The team put 40 brown trout in a tank of water containing a level of methamphetamine that has been found in freshwater rivers for a period of 8 weeks before transferring them to a clean tank.
So people disposing of their drugs or
maybe
downstream of meth labs?
Then every other day, the researchers checked whether the trout were suffering from methamphetamine withdrawal by giving them a choice between water containing the drug or water without. Further, 40 trout were used in a control group. Trout that had spent 8 weeks in water containing methamphetamine selected water containing the drug in 4 days after moving to freshwater.
Trout. Let them all out.
This indicates they were suffering withdrawal because they sought out the drug when it became available. The team all found... The team found that addicted fish were less active than those that had been never been exposed to the methamphetamine.
I'm hooked, man, but not like the usual way that a fish gets hooked.
And found traces of the drug in their brains up to 10 days after the exposure.
Jesus, wow, yeah.
Yeah, the team concluded that even low levels of illicit drugs in bodies of water can affect the animals that live in them. Drugs excreted from users pass through through sewage systems. Oh, so people are pissing this out.
Oh.
So a quick question.
And then discharges from wastewater treatment plants, and that can get into the water.
How does this manifest in the behavior of the brown trout? Does it become lethargic, or does it become more peppy and aggressive? Does it climb into your boat and have its way with your wife?
That didn't indicate in this particular one. But, they can show. It says they were less active.
Okay.
Oh, there you
go. You know, active fish are.
Yeah. All right, what else here?
Oh, hang on. I'm not ready for that. There we go.
Ah!
Friday.
Here we go. I've got a bunch of stories, but I'm just saying.
You're just picking and choosing. Too many trout stories.
Genes can determine a lot about a person, including when they lose their virginity.
Okay. We're talking Levi's?
Yep. Yeah. Like, so if the zipper's down.
Yeah. You're probably going to lose your virginity.
You can lose your virginity. A team of scientists led by the University of Oxford have identified 371 regions of our genetic code.
Ooh.
That appear to influence not only when men and women first have sex, but also when they have their first child. Genetics underlying early sex and fertility were related to behavioral disinhibition, the team found, like ADHD, addiction, and early smoking.
So someone is going to be more aggressively into having their first sexual encounter.
I guess so, yeah.
Like the brown trout.
Yeah.
Who was the youngest person you guys knew growing up, man or woman?
To lose their virginity?
Yeah. I know exactly.
Me too.
Her name was Elise, and she was... elementary school.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And she was
sixth grade?
Just in sixth grade. And it was one of those things where,
yeesh,
you know, one of those, oh, she's sick.
Oh, she got pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh wow. Oh,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Preston. She got pregnant.
I knew
sixth grade. Just in sixth grade.
Yeah. Somebody who was a freshman, so they had a girlfriend. And,
that's kind of late.
Yeah.
I think. I mean,
freshman.
Yeah. Well, like freshman for the first person to be.
Oh.
Because like for me, it was at summer after seventh grade, summer before eighth grade.
Wow.
Humpin' Nate Knowles. And
what?
His nickname was Humpin' Nate Knowles after he was his first name.
That's
was
old
Nate.
Humpin'
I thought
Nate
his
Knowles.
Name was Humpin' Nate.
Yeah. No, Humpin' Nate Knowles.
Okay.
And the girl was also in seventh grade.
Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, I did know a girl who apparently there had been stories about
the rumors.
Yeah, and they weren't like this wasn't those classic rumors that you'd heard. You know, the old hot dog rumor things along those lines. These were not necessarily corroborated, but they were
solid enough, maybe?
Solid enough that, and I won't say her name or whatever, but I definitely tried to pay closer attention to her.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff's pretty troubling. And the case that I mentioned, it was somebody who was older, not vastly older, but older, not in elementary school, mm-hmm. who had been with her. So it's troubling.
I remember one of those rumors with somebody I went to school with, and it was that she wanted to stay a virgin. So,
butt stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I knew that girl, too.
Yeah. No, we had a girl who was the rumor, and I don't think she really did. I just think it's unfortunate, but I mean, it went from...
Kids are cruel.
It went from seventh or eighth grade to... adulthood.
That
was the thing about her.
You notice the guys skirt it a lot, though. It's just, you know, there's less rumors of a guy.
Well, so the girl
unfair.
The girl that I'm talking about, the guy that she was with wasn't as young as she was.
There you go.
I think he was probably in high school and she might have been around seventh, eighth grade along those lines. Yeah.
I remember Nate being proud. He got on the bus and he was like,
"Are you kidding me?"
Yeah, I don't know if the girl held the pride that Nate did, but he was a stud for a stretch because everybody knew he was the first one.
Yeah, it wasn't. I didn't lose my virginity until right after I graduated from high school. I was late.
I was later.
Late to the grill. And late to the party.
College
wedding night.
And then you showed pictures to your mom just to prove it.
Yeah.
See? And you're holding a newspaper with the date on it.
Look, Mom.
Kathy, you too, your wedding night?
Yeah.
I lost my virginity on Kathy's wedding night.
Here's the deal. I think if that opportunity would have presented itself at a younger age for me, eighth, ninth grade, I probably wouldn't have taken him up on it because I was still like prepubescentish. There was a girl who liked me and I didn't go with her because I thought she would have tried to go down my pants and I wasn't.
It'll ruin our student lunch lady relationship.
I wasn't in, the bushes weren't in full bloom yet and I was embarrassed. So.
I'll tell you what, I was pre-embarrassed by and could have had the opportunity to do it beforehand is I knew that I wasn't going to last more than 15 seconds.
Yeah. 15?
You're a stud if you last 15.
Yeah, right? You're right. It would have been less than that. And I was so embarrassed at the fact that this was going to be so underwhelming for this girl, whoever she may be, and that I didn't even want to risk it.
Yeah.
And I eventually gave in.
I was probably about 17, and I remember that it was not awesome.
You regretted it?
It seemed like a real mechanical rite of passage.
Was it a girlfriend or somebody?
And then it was a while before I
You did it for real?
Yeah. It was a bus driver.
No, mine was...
It was a girl that I liked, and we remained friends as well as you can, but it didn't...
You guys weren't dating at the time.
I think what happened is I remember a chain of events afterwards that sort of really put the fear of young parenthood that just happened to. Maybe that's what we were learning in health class at that time.
Right.
And it hit the target.
I didn't finish on my first time. So I was drunk. Yeah. And
Whiskey D on the first time.
But what's funny is when I first felt the warmth. Yeah. I thought there was going to be an explosion immediately, and as it turns out, there was not. And
I love that term. First felt the warmth. Yeah. That is an accurate description.
You're like, oh my God, there is going to be an explosion here,
and there wasn't,
and there was not.
Wow.
Did anything happen yet?
No, Lou.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, mine was, it was rapid, quick.
You almost want to be able to say, well, I'm saying it. If you can really wait, make it, make all those, sure, all those things that you wanted, somebody you really care about, well, all those things.
I don't know. I wish I would have done it earlier.
Yeah.
We all know somebody who they lost their virginity on, I believe it was either, I think
the
it was,
Hindenburg.
No, no, the Humanity.
Yeah, they saw it. Actually, the reporter could see it from the ground.
No, but what she recommended.
Oh my God, crashing, crashing, falling, completely copulating in midair.
What she had recommended is if you're going to do it for the first time, don't do it on like a holiday or a day that you'll remember.
What? She lost her virginity to what?
It was on New Year's Eve. And so
Arbor Day.
For like years and years, that was always a memory of hers. And it wasn't like the best memory.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because so, it might not be great.
Yeah.
It may be the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. It also might be.
Also might not be.
Not so
to
great.
To this day, she can't see Santa Claus without drying up.
Right. All right. Anyway, you may be predisposed to losing your virginity. Some genes determine when you lose your virginity. New social media trend. You guys excited?
Yeah, I love them. They're always so legit.
Mm-hmm. People are shoving cloves of garlic up their nose.
Well, okay.
Ew.
Both nostrils.
Wow.
Supposedly to clear their sinuses when one is stuffy or has a cold.
Oh, come on.
After keeping it in there for anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes, the users then pull the garlic out, followed by really long strands of mucus and snot bubbles.
That I can't. I'd rather die.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Doctors have asked you not to do this.
Yeah, of course. There's how much damage, how much physical harm has been created because of TikTok challenges or things like the Tide Challenge.
Yeah.
All of these things where kids are getting hit, killed, injuring themselves.
Speaking of the Tide Pod Challenge, I was talking to my mom yesterday, and so she got a brand new batch of the Tide Pods, and inside the container that comes in, one of them had burst. Okay, so it had gotten, you know, the gooey stuff all over.
Yeah.
So my mom thought it would be a good idea to wash them all off.
And did that work?
They dissolve in water. She was cracking up while she was telling me this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's so damn funny. So, yes, they are asking you not to do this. One user's video of this quote-unquote hack was favorited 5,332, 700 times. By the way, the term hack is used improperly so often now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I'll see, like, you know, a kitchen hack or whatever. And it's just a recipe.
Yeah,
it's
not, a hack is a
it's a shortcut.
A shortcut, a creative way to get around or get something done, not routinely done to that point.
Yeah, yeah. Another video of the caption, or another video that has a caption reads, "This is not dangerous."
Yeah, right.
The shoving the stuff up your nose.
I thought that was for figging.
And that was favored 2.1 million times. But they say, you know, it's not necessarily dangerous, but you shouldn't go shoving stuff up your nose anyway.
Nose shover.
Yep. All right, we got to wrap up?
Yeah, we got to wrap up.
Okay, that's all we have time for. Sorry about that. We will clean out the junk drawer another time, friend. We're going to take a quick break and come back in a moment. When we return, I still have some great Bizarre File stories left to relay to you. And we still got some things to give away, including our Word of the Week prize. So stay put. Be back in a moment.
Yeah. Glad you asked. Dropkick Murphys. Foo Fighters. Black Pumas.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
I'm 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you to Dietz and Watson and the Real Philly Delis that stop by from time to time. Swarthmore Co-op and Anna's Corner Store are Real Philly Delis because Real Philly Deli starts with Dietz and Watson premium meats and artisan cheeses. You can check them out and see for yourself. So thanks for bringing by the goodies this morning. We appreciate it. Now to the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by the Landis Theater, and there are tickets on sale for Vixen this Sunday.
I love that.
Vineland, New Jersey. Yep, they'll be there at 7 p.m. TheLandisTheater.com for tickets. We'll start with this. A messed up story, man. On Wednesday, a Corvette convertible crashed through the backyard of a home and into a pool. The crash killed two of the vehicle's occupants, while the third is critically injured.
Yeah.
NBC Los Angeles reports that the crash happened at around 2:18 in the morning in Chino, California. The vehicle, a C8 Corvette convertible, struck a center median, took flight, and flew over a hedge before it crashed into the pool. The car's three occupants were all ejected. An investigation is underway while the exact cause is unknown. Officials are saying that speed is definitely a factor. The vehicle appears to have failed to make a turn while traveling fast enough to cause it to go airborne, which, by the way, at the intersection, the speed limit is 15 miles an hour. They believe the Corvette tried to take the turn at more than 150 miles an hour.
15 miles an hour for that turn, and they took it at over 150 miles an hour. Well, that something was bound to happen.
Yeah, that's insane. So, two people didn't make it. One might die as well.
Jesus.
When it came to making himself at home, this burglar took it to the extreme. A man broke into a home and proceeded to start the laundry and make himself a little snack in the kitchen.
Who'd like a little fried bologna sandwich?
Deputies were called to a residence around 4 a.m. When they arrived, they learned the homeowners had been startled awake by the burglar who opened their bedroom door.
I rearranged your spice cabinet.
Amy Padgett, the owner who lives in the house with her husband and 19-year-old son, said she woke up from a noise that morning but didn't think twice about it until she and her husband heard it the second time. She said, with that, our bedroom door flung open and there was an individual standing at our bedroom door. That is the image that doesn't leave my head. Padgett said she screamed and went after the man, her husband and son beside her, as they followed him down the stairs. The individual then kind of turned around, got to the front door, and asked if he could get his shoes, at which point my husband informed him, no, you really need to leave the house.
I did the dishes in the sink and I jacked it into the potato salad.
Oh, my God.
Well, the dishes was good.
Huh?
The second thing, not good.
When he left the house, Padgett said they called 911. Deputies discovered the suspect had made his way inside an unsecured ground floor window. When the suspect left, Padgett surveyed her home and found the powder room in disarray and their dryer was turned on. She said, but it was all our laundry. He just started it again.
Do you've had at least three or four stories where people have gotten into the home and done very homey type things.
Yeah.
Like cooked and cleaned. And
she also said he heated up Eggo waffles in a Lean Cuisine meal and ate some yogurt and popsicles, too.
It's eating healthy.
Padgett said the suspect used her son's EpiPens as well.
Well, that's probably bad.
Maybe he's allergic to waffles. Yeah, he didn't realize it until the last second.
Oh, God, I'm ballooning up. I remember Lean Cuisines. I used to have them all the time.
Yeah.
The suspect identified as Philip Neal Cedarleaf and was found a short distance away from the home. He was taken into custody. This is pretty interesting. A worker in a Goodwill in North Central Texas recently found a rare copy of the Atari video game Air Raid.
Wow.
Now, I didn't know that this was a rare game.
No.
They found it in a box of donations. The game cartridge is unusual looking due to its T-shaped handle, and there are only 13 known copies of the game.
Air Raid.
Yeah, the game had been in a larger box of video games that were donated through Goodwill's e-commerce department.
I don't think I've ever seen what this game looks like graphically or anything.
No.
It doesn't come to mind.
Shay Johnson, president of the community engagement, says that there's no way to know if the person who donated the game actually was aware of how valuable it was. The game was listed on the website and sold under an auction format. After being listed for just 7 days, it sold for $10,590.
We talked on the show about the E.T. game, right?
Right, which was they actually put them in a big ditch in the desert.
And as a result, they became incredibly rare. Yeah, so the E.T. game from Atari from that era is also
revered.
Yeah, and valuable.
So we're looking at a picture, but it does have sort of a handle on the cartridge that makes it unique.
Huh.
By the way, there's a documentary all about that, finding the E.T. game.
That's right, yeah.
Johnson says the money will allow the organization to provide daily day habilitation services for a year for one adult with disabilities, provide 20 homeless individuals with job placement services.
All in one dumb video game. That's awesome.
That's really cool. I like it. Police have arrested a woman who allegedly dragged an officer with a stolen pickup truck during a chase and then got stopped when she pulled over to get some McDonald's. After 8:45 a.m., officers were called for a report of a stolen pickup truck. Spoke with the owner, who said he saw a woman climb in his truck and drive off. Officers started pursuing the truck, which was equipped with a GPS. They pulled over the driver, later identified as 38-year-old Johanna Gardell, before she took off again. She allegedly weaved her way into oncoming traffic where she struck a van. Two detail officers then approached the truck to try and pull her out. But officers say she backed the truck up at a high speed and hit the cruiser behind her. And in the process, she knocked down one of the detail officers and briefly dragged them. Mm-hmm. The officer in question was taken to the hospital. None life-threatening injuries. Gardell later was taken into custody. She pulled into the drive-thru lane at McDonald's. This is while a pursuit is going on.
When you're peckish, you're peckish.
Officers approached her there in an attempt to arrest her when they say she intentionally struck one of the cruisers, went off-road again, and got the vehicle stuck in some nearby mulch. She was then taken to the hospital for evaluation. She's facing over a dozen charges. And then we'll do one more story and wrap it up. This is interesting. A mom was mortified when she nearly kidnapped another woman's baby in a grocery store. And TikTok was on this. It was posted on there. The shocking footage quickly went viral. In the video, you can see an unknown mom wearing blue standing in a checkout aisle with her presumed toddler in her arms. The confusion begins when another mom wearing pink approaches her and takes the baby from her arms. While the surveillance footage has no audio, it's safe to assume the mom in the pink said something like, "This is my baby."
Oh, wow.
Suddenly, despite the mom in blue wearing a mask, you can see the look of shock on her face, likely experiencing a mixture of horror, nearly kidnapping someone's child, and terror of not knowing where her own child was.
Yes. Yeah.
But the mother in pink, smiling, leads the shocked woman down an aisle where she points to a toddler standing alone. Immediately, the mother in blue scoops up the child and rushes off, undoubtedly embarrassed by the mix-up. And relieved to have her own baby in her arms again. Thankfully, the accidental near kidnapping was caught before the two moms went home with the wrong babies in tow. I know. And you hear about people leaving kids in cars and stuff.
Yes.
Man, it can happen. It absolutely can happen by accident. You just kind of get lost in your thoughts.
Right. Juggling a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. You're tired.
Yep. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File. Let's take one more break, come back in a second before we ask a lesson question of you and get into the trash and music news. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kind of hungry for some reason now. Fortunately, Deeds and Watson here.
Yes.
Today, and they brought by some goodies for us. So thank you to Anna's Corner Store and Swarthmore Co-op for dropping off hoagies this morning. You can order today from your neighborhood Real Philly Deli and support local businesses. Deeds and Watson, it is a family thing since 1939, of course. All right, so we are going to test your knowledge of today's program. We're going to ask a lesson question. We have a digital download of the movie Nobody. And let's see if you know the answer to this one. What is the Credible Hulk's real name? Yep, not the Incredible Hulk, not the MCU. You wouldn't know him. What's the Credible Hulk's real name? It was said very quickly. And let's see if you were paying attention. Sometimes just see if you can, what little glimpses you can get. 215-263-WMMR. While you call in, we'll do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, we're going to get some stories. Let's do that. Steve, what's going on?
Well, Marilyn Manson turned himself into the law in New Hampshire for spitting. This was an incident during a concert in 2019. Manson, who was booked and then released, admitted he has to do better about the spitting and also the sexual assaulting.
Yeah.
Hey!
Jody Catherine Wolfe, the wife of American Picker star Michael Wolfe, has filed for divorce from the reality star. Jody cryptically explained, saying, quote, "Michael is a master at picking through garbage, but he can't maintain an erection."
Oh my God.
That really wasn't cryptic at all. And finally, Harry Hamlin admitting that he's not thrilled
with his daughter Amelia's love life. Hamlin revealed during a recent interview that the worst possible day in any father's life is when you hear the words, "Daddy, I'm dating Scott Disick."
Mm-hmm.
And that's your Hollywood track.
All righty. Thank you very much, sir. So we are looking for the answer to this question. What is the Credible Hulk's real name? We got a caller who thinks they know, and it is KJ we're going to go to. Yo, KJ.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. All right, hey. KJ. What's the Credible Hulk's?
Up, man?
What's the What's the Credible Hulk's real name?
His name is Stu.
Stu. Hang on there, KJ. You just got yourself a digital download of Nobody from the writer of John Wick. Comes the fast-paced film, certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's available now on digital, 4K, Blu-ray, and DVD.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah! All right, we'll begin with this. This year, Stone Temple Pilots are celebrating the 25th anniversary of their LP, Tiny Music, Songs from the Vatican Gift Shop. The album will be released in a 3-disc, 1-LP deluxe edition and will feature a remastered version of the original album, alternate versions, and mixes of several of the songs. A major part of the release is a complete concert taped at the Club La Vela in Panama City Beach, Florida, in March of 1997. And due on July 23rd, it will include a previously unreleased live version of the song Tumble in the Rough, which is the only track on the album solely credited to Scott Weiland. That song is streaming now online if you want to check that out. As Steve said a moment ago, Marilyn Manson turned himself into authorities at the Hollywood Division of the Los Angeles Police Department last Friday after reaching a deal with Guilford Police Department in New Hampshire. He answered to 2 counts of misdemeanor simple assault after a videographer said he spit on her during a concert there in 1999. People.com reports that Manson was released without bail. The department publicly announced that there was an arrest warrant for Manson, who was legally known as Brian Warner. Security guard and 2 concert goers confirmed the people, two people that they saw Manson spit and shoot his snot at the camera woman.
It's disgusting.
In May, a 4th woman sued Manson for sexual abuse. The latest is an ex named Ashley Morgan Smithline. Mark Tremonti's solo band Tremonti will be releasing a new album, and that'll be out September 24th. The Alter Bridge guitarist said the project is called Marching in Time, and it's his band's 5th studio album. Antimusic.com reports that the title track was inspired by Tremonti's experience to have a child during the global pandemic. They will hit the road this fall with 7 Dust. Foo Fighters have teamed up with MSG Entertainment to release a mini-documentary chronicling the band's first concert at Madison Square Garden in New York City following 466 days without live music. The documentary is called The Day the Music Came Back. The band performed at the Garden on June 20th to a sold-out show, sold-out crowd. The documentary will include live footage, backstage testimonials, and more. The estate of late founding member of AC/DC, Bon Scott, has launched the singer's first official website. It's called BonScottOfficial.com.
I think it's his birthday today.
Yep, it marks what would have been Scott's 75th birthday. Bon Scott died on February 19, 1980 at age 33 after passing out and choking on his own vomit following a long night of drinking. He sang on AC/DC's first 6 studio albums, including High Voltage, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, Let There Be Rock, and Highway to Hell. A statement from the family said, on the occasion of what would have been his 75th birthday, the Bon Scott estate, Ron's 2 brothers and his nephew, are proud to launch the new website and take this important step toward elevating Bon's legend and tending to his legacy. Bon was a unique singer, songwriter, and character that the world should never forget. This is an invitation for Bon's fans and friends to gather, share their memories and observations of him and his music. His legacy lives in the hearts and minds of those who loved him. Wolfgang Van Halen posted his new tattoo on social media. The tat is of the logo of his band, Mammoth WVH. Wolfgang, who's uploaded both a photo of the tattoo and a brief video of it being finished off, wrote, "I did a thing." Thanks so much to the legendary Tokyo Hero Skunks for the amazing work. So we'll get a look at that in person coming up at the MMRBQ on the 25th of September.
Maybe he'll get a President Steve tattoo while he's here.
We can ask him about that, maybe. And then finally, nearly 50 years after they split, Creedence Clearwater Revival has scored a number one hit on a Billboard singles chart. The group, of course, led by songwriter John Fogerty, scored a whopping 17 top 30 era-defining hits between 1968 and 72.
That's amazing.
With no less than four of them stalling at number two. None of them made it to number one.
I know.
Those songs are iconic.
Absolutely.
Rock songs, and they never made it to number one. They just barely got there.
I think what was out, though, while they were...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there was a lot to contend with.
Yep. At last, the band has topped the charts with their 1970 classic, Have You Ever Seen the Rain, hitting number one on Billboard's rock digital songs sales chart after two consecutive weeks.
It's a great song.
It
Why?
Is.
Why is this?
I don't know. So
it's the theme to Match Game.
Oh, okay. Additionally, Creedence is having a resurgence with their hits Bad Moon Rising and Fortunate Son, which also landed in the magazine's rock digital song sales top 10, hitting number 9 and number 10, respectively. The band's RIAA Diamond Certified 1976 compilation Chronicle, the 20 Greatest Hits, recently broke the top 10 on iTunes Top Albums chart, with the album going one to peak at number 29 on the Billboard 200. So I don't know why.
Usually it's because it's in like a film soundtrack they've included it in, yeah, or something else. So I'd be curious to find out, but I'm totally down with that.
Yeah, there's so many great songs,
yeah,
in that band. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in music news for you. Yes, Nick.
Well, there's a video that came out, but this is 2 or 3 years old at this point, and maybe it resurfaced recently. But it's got Jack Quaid in it, Dennis's son.
Quaid
Jack Quaid from the Boys.
Oh,
And it's the version. It's a Creedence version of Have You Ever Seen the Rain, but it's just an updated video that they put out in 2018. But I don't know if that would have any reason for the resurgence now.
Yeah, how many views on weird?
Over a million, case 1.02 million.
Huh.
What? Views on this particular, I'm sorry.
So 118
million. 100 million.
Yeah, 118 million. So I don't know why, but it's awesome. So good for them. All right, that's it in music news. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we'll wrap it up. Stay with us.
Why talk on the phone? Just text MMR at 39333. Send requests, comments, or text songs for what we're playing 24/7. The MMR short code. Always open, never busy. 39333.
We're wrapping up our day and wrapping up our week, too.
Yes.
And heading off into the wonderland that is the weekend.
And a pretty good weekend. So,
yeah.
Supposedly,
after remnants of a hurricane,
yeah,
came through and has since gone. Yeah, the weather's going to be okay. Kathy was saying some scattered thunderstorms,
yeah,
possibly
but that really
heading tonight.
It has nothing to do with the tropical storm. It's they said it's like a cold front coming through,
okay,
so it's just going to be in the atmosphere. So
that's what we get.
We're going to have some cooler temperatures. 89 today, 87 tomorrow, 82 on Sunday. So a chance for showers here and there, but they're not calling for like a super duper rainy weekend or anything like that, which is great. How you doing, Brett Porsche?
Good morning, everybody.
Nice to see you.
You as well. Do we get a picture of you with the wings on yet?
No, I'm wearing. Where are these even from, Marissa? There's a box of costumes in the hall, and they have little wings. And
little wing.
I'd like to. I saw them. I'd like to wear those.
You look like a Victoria's Secret angel, but they like shrunk on you.
Well, Marissa said I reminded her of Claire Danes in Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, which was just on recently.
I know. I watched it, and I hadn't seen that in 20 years.
Yeah,
long.
I watched a bit of it too, and that's how I was reminded. I forgot Paul Rudd was in that.
Yeah. I was totally surprised.
There's she used to be local, but she's like a party DJ, and the white wings are her signature prop when she DJs.
Wow. Oh,
really?
Yeah, DJ Shelley.
Am I stepping on her?
No, hers are like 19 times the size of yours.
Oh, she has like really big ones.
Yeah, and then she wears bright red headphones. She's cool. She's a really nice girl.
I like that.
You know, they sell, Kathy, they sell for Maleficent, the costume, they have now the wings that you can control with a pull cord.
Oh,
down your sleeve. It's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
We have to try those out.
You need some sequins or some glitter on there, too.
Yeah.
We can. Well, we'll work on that for next week. By the way, real quick, before we find out what, before we get our letter of the day, I want to thank Mark Zumoff for being on the show.
Hey.
Zoo is retiring and super duper nice guy, and just we had such a great conversation with him, and he's going to enjoy his retirement.
Man. However, he is firmly committed to being a part of the Papa Shot Challenge.
We didn't even ask him.
Not that it'll lapse.
He offered that up. All right, letter, you ready?
Yep.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
Letter T as in toe tapper.
Well, we now have a word. It's only three letters. Well, we've only worked 3 days this week, right?
That's right, yes.
Three letters.
Because of the Independence Day, and then we took another day.
Caller number four at 215-263-WMMR. We'll give you the shot at winning the prize, so go ahead and give us a call right now. It feels like it's been a full week, though. To me, I was tired today.
Yes, I was as too. Yeah, but I was as well, I should say, not as too.
And Casey was correct. Every week should be a 3-day work week for everyone.
Yes.
Or at least four. Four is not too bad. We can get away with that, right?
Can we start doing the show in Iceland? They're trying that, you know?
I know.
Broadcast from there.
All right, well, Brent's got a full day ahead of him. How are you wrapping up the week, man?
I do. So, workforce blocks today. All birthday celebrations. So we're celebrating Jack White. Also, Bon Scott, you mentioned during Music News there. It's his 75th birthday today. And Mitch Mitchell from Jimi Hendrix. 75th birthday today as well. And a bunch of fun on a Friday, including the coffee break, which is coming up shortly.
Love it. Excellent. All right, we will see if we can get a winner here. We're looking for caller number four, and caller number four is Peggy. Hi there, Peggy.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful, Peggy. What's that word of the week?
Is it bat?
That is correct.
Yes. Bat. Hang on a second.
Thank you.
Peggy, we are going to give you a $300 credit to squeezed.com. The bit. Almost said the beet juice. The beast juice. Cleanse on the market, and you can lose weight, better sleep, more energy, and online ordering at same-day delivery at squeezed.com. Do they have beet?
You know what
available?
They do, and in fact, it's really good. It's I find it to be one of my favorite juices.
Yeah. Do you pee solid red after you drink it?
You pee a little bit of red.
I'll bet you do.
You have to remind yourself that you did it before you have a heart attack in the bathroom.
We eat beets regularly at my house, and for like a split second when I go to the bathroom,
it's beet juice.
What else? Case, were you going to say something?
Well, yeah, you do have some sponsors here. I forgot to give you that sponsor for Music News.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take care of them now. I'd like to thank very much our sponsors. Rita's Water Ice 5-Layer Gelati is back for a limited time. Rita's with an extra layer of creamy frozen custard and refreshing Italian ice. The 5-Layer Gelati. More layers, more happiness, more yum. Also brought to you by Fred Beans. Come see why it's better at Beans. You can shop hundreds of your favorite vehicles online, fredbeans.com. Also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and by Polar Seltzer, refreshingly natural Polar Seltzer. Next week on the program, I'm not even going to tell you.
No.
Yeah, we got stuff planned.
Oh, there is good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No, we have nothing planned next week, but we'll see what happens. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a fantastic weekend, gang. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the bop-bop-choo-da-bop-choo-bop-bop-ba-do-ga-ga-bop-ba-dop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.